If it sounds horrible, I'm sorry, Seth, and Chris won't ever let you hear this, but I'm sorry. Or maybe now he will. This is how the episode will start.
Oh my god, that's a good idea. I gotta remember that.
Oh, that was Mountain Dew out the nose. Okay.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to WTF at TFW, proud supporters of JoeCon, which will be happening in 19 days, 10 hours, 35 minutes, and 9 seconds, Mark, from this point in the recording. You actually can't register for it, but, you know, it's going to happen one way or another, and hopefully registration will be up by the time this podcast goes up, which will be, you know, this is being recorded March 21st, right? If it's not up by the time I get this podcast up, then yeah, there's a serious real problem going on.
It went up the next day.
Everybody, if you know a person that enjoys G.I. Joe in their life, just give them a hug.
Yeah, because this has been the worst year.
It's okay. It's okay, you can cry.
It's only the worst year because it's also the 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
It's like the worst birthday present. In fact, it's the worst half-century birthday present anyone could ask for. Your IP is on hiatus. Your third movie just got canceled for a gem movie. Your toil development people have been dissolved and spread to other teams. Your convention does not have its pre-registration up less than 3 weeks until it's happening. And also, your 50th anniversary convention set is zombies. Although,
Happy birthday to you.
I'm going to admit, I actually like the look of some of their convention toys if I just forget that it's for a 50th anniversary.
I love the Toxo Viper. Bad set, but man, anniversary stuff, you got to be real careful with Thrilling 30.
Yeah, and a lot of people on the internet are sick of zombies. I'm not, but I know a lot of people are. Also, I just realized I forgot to hardwire this machine into my network because Aaron Skyped out slightly. I'm leaving all this in because this is behind the scenes. This is important for younger podcasters so they know what to do. You know, in an instance like this. Basically, I'm going to jack into the system right now and we might have a major programming skip. So, Aaron, tell me about sous vide cooking.
Sous vide cooking. I've talked plenty about it. You were actually talking about how you saw like a preseason vacuum sealed, and that's taken like 3/4 of the work out of it for you. Then you just need a cooler and a pot to go on a stove, or even a camp stove.
I absolutely do. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Then the transition was seamless. Omegas Prime, what do you think of the dog that's available as part of the Zombie Initiative box set for JoeCon 2014?
I could give you an opinion.
Yeah, you could.
I could.
It's called Dawg. That's DAWG. That's its name.
Clever.
It's a zombie dog that belongs to an evil cobra man called Repulsor.
Repulsor.
Yeah.
That's not a He-Man villain.
No, Repulsor spreads, you know, the zombie plague. That's his shtick.
Huh.
The other big thing about this set is they have T'Jabang.
T'what?
T'Jabang. He was from Ninja Force. He had the Tiger Luchador mask. And the hook swords.
Say that one more time.
T'Jabang.
So is there supposed to be like a glottal stop in there?
Yeah, there is. It's a T apostrophe J apostrophe bang, I believe. Sorry, it's T apostrophe J bang. And then it says it's pronounced shabang, but I don't believe that's true. It's chabang.
It's just what we had to do to trademark the name.
Exactly. I'm saying all this because, you know, darn it, G.I. Joe deserves something for its 50th, so why don't we talk a little bit about it at the start of a Transformers podcast, because where else is anyone going to talk about G.I. Joe?
G.I. Joe podcast.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's...
You know what sucked? Rough, I went on Twitter and I said, go and hug a G.I. Joe fan. Someone who's not in the know said, what, are they getting new toys this year? And I was like, oh...
Yeah, I've had a couple people since I put out my tweet be like, no, they were serious about registration not being up. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, you know what? After April 13th, it won't matter one way or another.
No, it won't. Three people will show up at the convention very confused.
Because the collector coins will be out, and G.I. Joe will have finished its convention for 2014, and then for the rest of the year, all the fans will wonder what to do.
Yeah.
I also found out apparently this year the Canadian G.I. Joe convention that kept happening ended. It shut down. So it's not happening this year. I got that over Twitter from Distant Fred. Jeez. Just to add to the list of celebrations for the 50th anniversary of G.I. Joe.
God, that's the worst birthday I've ever heard.
It sucks. The only silver lining is that Acid Rain and Lost Planet, two very good-looking toy lines with really big, like, you know, transforming vehicles. It's all G.I. Joe scale. Those are both coming out this year. They aren't actually G.I. Joes, but they're like G.I. Joes. So Joe fans who just like the toys have got places to go? Maybe? If they like robots?
Sure.
Well, not to rub it in their faces any further, but our first topic is about our first look at the 2015 new Transformers cartoon that's coming out, because Transformers is still going strong. It's got a movie this year and a cartoon next year, and I'm really sorry, G.I. Joe fans. I'm terribly sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I'm trying not to rub it in your face. I'm just talking about the news. I don't mean any slight by this. I'm so sorry, G.I. Joe fans. But let's talk about this. We got a press release from The Hub with a picture and a description. So the picture is Bumblebee. This is apparent, as I understand it, this is the description implies this is going to be a computer animated show, which means that this looks like this could be a 3D model with like some hella cell shading on it, or it could just be a piece of control art. Who knows?
I'm thinking a piece of control art as early as it is.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. They didn't mention it's not indicative of the final look, so it's probably just a sample.
That's what I'd assume. And you know what? It doesn't look too bad. A lot of people were comparing this to that first picture of animated Optimus when his mouth plate was all crazy perspectived. I think this looks a little bit nicer than that. I mean, like, yeah, you can't see one of Bumblebee's thighs, but the placement of stuff on his body makes sense, you know? Like, it's not terrible. But this is this comes from the Hub Network, who call themselves the Champions of Family Fun, which is a little presumptuous. Just saying, hubris will come back for you. This new series is debuting in early 2015. Action packed, Hasbro Studios, produced by Jeff Klein, who produced Transformers Prime and G.I. Joe Renegades. This takes place years after Transformers Prime, centering on Bumblebee leading a new team of Autobots. And this sounds like it's going to be a full-on sequel, because Will Friedle is going to be voicing Bumblebee once again, and he was one of the best parts of Season 3 in Predacons Rising. Because, hey, it turns out he's actually a pretty good voice actor. Just saying.
Yeah.
And it turns out when Bumblebee talks, Bumblebee is a lot more interesting. So I got no problem with this. I know a lot of people are really exercising the limits of their Bumblebee fatigue, but at least it's not going to be bleep, bleep, bleep Bumblebee. Unless something horrible happens in the first episode.
Bring Friedle back for one episode.
Like, is Will,
get out of here. Too expensive.
This is my question. Is Will Friedle and Adam Baldwin? Is Will Friedle
Dwayne Johnson?
Dwayne Johnson.
Is he? I think for if they're advertising him and as Bumblebee, it's not going to be out and done.
Yeah.
He's going to hang around.
Because that's the kind of twist for metafictional reasons, I would rather not be dealing with. Because I want that talking Bumblebee. He was a good time. But there's more to this this press release. They're also talking about an all-star cast with Darren Criss from Glee. I don't know who that is. Is anyone?
Not off the top of my head.
Do Glee?
You don't watch Glee?
No.
Why not?
I cut cable a long time ago.
You could download Glee.
Theoretically, yes. I could.
So, okay, if you are so into Glee and so offended by us not watching, surely you know who this person is.
Never watched Glee in my life.
Why not?
I'm just going to watch Glee. Also, we've got Constance Zimmer, and they're crediting her for her part in House of Cards, which is kind of interesting to see on, you know, a Hub Network press release, a reference to House of Cards.
Yeah.
Which, in all kinds of reasons why kids probably shouldn't watch House of Cards. That's what I'm going to say. The Netflix one, the American one with Kevin Spacey. Where was I going with this? Constance Zimmer played one of the trinity of reporters in the press subplot that ran through most of season one and parts of season two. So she's not one of...
Sure.
I was like, wait, she's one of the actors who I don't know what she looks like from House of Cards, so I had to do some Googling. I was like, oh, it's her! And she could be good. Like, there's nothing about her that's poor, nothing that really stands out as a cartoony character type thing to her voice, but I don't know a lot of her body of work, so maybe she's going to be badass at that. But, and this is the big one for a lot of people, and this is also another... This guy is credited for his Married with Children work, which is, again, another thing that's weird to see on a Hub Network press release. Ted McGinley, friend of TV Tropes and JumpTheShark.com, is going to be in the show as well. Now, do you guys know the legend of Ted McGinley and television?
I'm not sure about the legend. I just remember Married with Children.
So, there's a saying, which is that when Ted McGinley joins your show in season 3 or 4, that is the final season of your show. Or, that is the season where your show, quote-unquote, jumps the shark. So, a lot of people have reacted to the announcement of Ted McGinley joining a Transformers show. A lot of people reacted to it with the response of, oh no, I guess Transformers is going to die next year, because he brings that stigma with him. To me, the best thing you could do with Ted McGinley is make him play Cosmos. Just put all your eggs in one basket.
I was going to say, but it's a new series. It's just continuing from the previous story, so it's not like it's season 4 of Prime.
But what if it... Oh no!
Bum, bum, bum.
I actually like Ted McGinley. Mostly for Married with Children. I've not seen him in a lot of other stuff, but it sounds like they've got a little core of actors lined up for this already. We'll see where it goes. It's going to blend 3D characters with hand-painted environments. It's going to mix action-packed adventures with lots of comedy, making it a rip-dash-roaring experience for kids and families to enjoy together. And then legalese, NASDAQ, DISCA, DISC-B, DISC-K, NASDAQ has, etc., etc. So there's a lot of discussion about this press release focused on either Bumblebee or the whole thing about there's going to be comedy and rip roaring. And I don't think that the bit about action packed adventure with lots of comedy, rip roaring experience is something that anyone should really give lots of weight to until we have more specifics. That's a whole lot of very generic
buzzword.
You could describe
Zing Pow buzzword
every cartoon ever made like that before it came out.
Yeah. I know. I personally am offended at the use of rip roaring past 1999.
I'm kind of glad to see it come back, and I like to see it
bring
like,
it back.
Not just come back, but to be straight facedly used on a press release. That's pretty ballsy.
Well, it's not even the fact that it's not like you didn't cut off the G with an apostrophe to sound cool. It's just rip roaring.
Sorry,
pronunciation.
That's what the kids are saying these days, right? Am I right?
You said it's rip roaring. The correct pronunciation is it is rip roaring. We don't use contractions when we aren't cutting the G off of rip roaring. I like to imagine Ted McGinley just brought that with him when he showed up on this project. He's like, you should call it Rip Roaring. I also really will be... I'm going to be freaked out if Ted McGinley looks like he's aged since Married with Children. Because I have a very particular image in my mind of what he looks like.
Yeah, it's been quite a few years.
I can't wait
to see how he looks in this cartoon.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, they're going to be mixing 2D with 3D. You never know. Maybe they're going to have Ted McGinley's head pop up now and then. It'll be a joke, you know, for the Rip Roaring comedy action. So I don't really have lots to draw from, you know, the text description here. This is just kind of listing actors who all sound like they're competent. And Will Friedle, we know, is competent as Bumblebee. At least in my opinion. So have you guys got anything to add, other than what we've said so far? Aaron, any thoughts on the cast, the description, the picture of Bumblebee?
One thing I've fired out there 2 or 3 times, and I'll say it here. We know absolutely nothing, and we have this one piece of artwork. Please do not condemn the show already.
Well, that's too late. I've already condemned it. You can't tell me what to do. I'm an American. I have my rights.
Yeah, I understand. And no, you're not. But I guess North American, maybe. But
that's cold.
Yeah, it's well, I don't know. You always go on about your German Asian heritage. Neither one of those is North America, even so.
Not yet.
Pick a team and go with it, son.
Listen, once we take it over, what? Hi.
But I don't know. I'm interested. It'll be nice if it is a continuation. But then again, like, Energon was a continuation of Armada, and Cybertron was a continuation of Energon.
Was it?
Kind of.
Was it?
I mean, they all theoretically were continuations, but had so little to do with each other that it might as well not have been.
Well,
so,
in the
again,
American version, the kids came back.
Yeah, well, yeah. And,
the
and
end
how much
of
did.
Picture.
Yes.
How much did that really matter?
Mattered.
At the end in a picture. Just going to say it again.
I'm sure it was very important to show that Kicker hadn't found a barber in 10 years.
So, well. Yeah. Armada to Energon, you know, or Micron Densetsu to Superlink, either way, the animation was all there. Like, that was a direct continuation. And when it was still a continuation for those opening, like, 10, 15 episodes, it was awesome at the time. I thought it was awesome. Just, like, coming back to a world like that. Then they screwed it all up horribly and destroyed the entire show and every single ounce of potential it had. But that aside, before all that happened, oh, the promise that was there. And I want to think that, you know, these guys are more competent than mind-wiping every single character by the time the show is over. So,
yeah.
I have higher hopes.
Knockout's yodeling now.
Yeah.
Come on, it's fun. It's rip-roaring.
I hope that we get more legacy character appearances in this than just Bumblebee, and specifically I'm hoping Knockout is one of them, because...
Yeah, the biggest thing is, I try to think of, like, what is the show going to be? Is this, like, figuring out a new Cybertron with all of these new Transformers coming online, or is it something else? Is this some second generation of Decepticon show up, or is it... I mean, there's surely, if they're continuing, there's only so many ways that they can at least start off.
I'm totally ready for the multi-year time skip to be in that intervening time. We've set up cities on Cybertron, and
yeah,
we have a population here, just so we can jump into a show, I think.
Yeah.
Omegas, what are your thoughts on any of this that you haven't said already, like on Bumblebee, et cetera, et cetera?
The only real thing you can draw from the press release is Bumblebee leading a team of Autobots, which that plus the sequel element means... We're starting a Transformer cartoon with no Optimus of any kind.
And if they play their cards right, we will not see him again.
That... Oh. You know, it would be really, like, it would be really, really weird. Like, now we all have this sequel series, Bumblebee in command, and we've got a Megatron roaming around who's dissolved the Decepticons as we knew them in Prime.
Oh yeah, Predacon Rising, spoilers, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like,
spoiler,
I mean, hopefully,
for that thing we talked about forever ago.
Hopefully that's assumed when you go into this topic about the show that comes after Predacons Rising, but I'm not gonna... Do you guys really want me to do the whole bah, bah thing every time we get so much as, like, this close to anything that could...
Look, it's been on Netflix for a month, okay?
Bah,
you had your chance.
There you go.
Okay.
That was just for you guys.
Okay, do you want to start just making, like, random movements with your mouth now, because I'm about to mention IDW's recent issues?
Is the spoiler section warning? Alright. IDW spoilers coming up. Oh, God. Oh, actually, you know what? Yeah. Well, no, by the time this comes out, it'll have been 2 weeks. So, Aaron, have you read the newest Dark Cybertron?
Nope.
Oh.
Well, let's avoid talking about...
I haven't had the chance to get to the comic shop.
Let's avoid talking about stuff that might relate to things.
Yeah, don't do that. I don't care if you spoil it for the listeners. You spoil it for me, I might get titchy.
I'm going to kill you. I'm going to sous vide you.
Slow cook.
Actually, I should have asked that before we started, because, yeah, there's pertinent things to talk about.
Oh, I know, I've been meaning to get over there, but it's...
I could... Oh. God damn it, Aaron. I had such a nice point to make. You and your tardiness.
Yep.
Well, Omegas, you can always go in the thread and use spoiler tags and make that point. In the intervening time. I know the point you're talking about, and I think that we'll see. Is all I'm going to say. Let's not even start beating around the bush, because that's gonna destroy things. I shouldn't tell Aaron about what happens to lockdown. Where was I going with that?
I don't know.
Right, new cartoon. So, I think there's speculation to be had about the new cartoon because it is, you know, a sequel. But creative speculation. Have fun with it. Don't yell at each other. I'm really excited about this because I think I mentioned this when we did our final primetime. So when Prime ended, I was like, you know what? Sure, it's done. That felt okay. When Predacons Rising ended, I was like, you know, now I kind of want to go back to this world and see what happens next. And if this is going to be a legit chance to, you know, just take a peek at the world after Predacons Rising, I'm super stoked for that. Because damn, man. Like, I want to see this world with no Optimus Prime, with lots of hope and lots of scavenging and lots of gray zones. Because we are going to spoil the end of Predacons Rising here. We've got Shockwave off doing whatever. Who knows? We don't know what happened to Starscream. And we've got a disillusioned Unicron-empowered Megatron who just doesn't want to fight anymore, wandering the galaxy. I think there's a lot of potential for all kinds of super cool stuff there. So, we'll see how it goes. And hopefully we'll get some more information as time goes on. We do have... Did you guys see the other topic I linked in this one here? The update?
Yeah, that probably is not indicative of everything.
Yeah, we got an update from Matt Humphreys.
Sure, I mentioned that.
Matt Humphreys, who's a member of the creative team. He's a storyboard artist, I believe. He says he can't say much because, you know, he can't on a show like this. But he feels a need to say that their new show being announced, the artwork shown, is not a good representation of what the designs look like fully fleshed out. The new show looks amazing. He's having a ton of fun working on it. Hopes everyone watches it when it comes out. Basically, to translate that and paraphrase it in a way that's somewhat accurate, yo, it's a piece of concept control art that's going out with the press release. Calm down.
Yeah.
Getting that from a storyboard. Now, yeah, storyboard artists might have a vested interest in people watching the show, but also, storyboard artists, they get paid for their work before the show comes out. So,
yeah. On top of that, it also is the whole, you know, this is for media, for them to see something, not for the fans to get excited over.
Yeah. So, you know, just, if you are feeling like kind of worried or worked up about it, just give it a sec. You may well become worried and worked up about it anyway, but, you know, for now, enjoy the bliss that is the ignorance that we all have of what on earth is going to happen with the show. At this point, I'm enjoying it. My ignorance is the best. I do it all the time. Aaron, ask me some kind of question.
Anything.
I don't know. See? I feel so good. Anyway, we should move on, because we got some other stuff to talk about. We got actually a pretty sizable little topic list here, because I want to talk about Masterpiece Days. It's last week. We got a dump of Masterpiece news. Just running through the bullet points, we got to see what the Amazon-exclusive piece for Bumblebee is, Masterpiece Bumblebee. It is an alternate face with his toy face, that being the Battle Masked face. I am frigging bummed out that this is the Amazon-exclusive accessory, because I kind of want this accessory. But I don't want to...
That looks like something that would be so easy for any rapid prototyper third party, as much as you love that phrase.
I love that phrase,
knock
yeah.
out.
No, I agree with you. That, like, I'm bummed out that the official one is going to be too much of a bother to get. But yeah, like, that looks like the most easy thing to just, like, wrap in resin and fart some plastic into. Like, well, don't literally do that unless you're into that. But that is the Amazon piece for Bumblebee.
I was just thinking that would require some intestinal fortitude to get, because that requires some pressure to get plastic to form. Hey, listen, like that.
You have the right, you get the right diet going. You can...
nachos and just all the refried beans. And
I was actually going to walk away from this, but if we want to pursue this line of reasoning, we can.
No, I'm sorry. Having
you got my engineer science brain thinking
what,
about
what
that.
What does that have to do with intestines? What?
You said fart plastic into it.
Okay, maybe I did.
It's just this has me regard. I had like I have flashbacks now of like the old Stink or He-Man toy. And Lorna, how did they get it to stink so bad?
Fart the plastic.
Fart injection.
Yeah. What's that drug that you always you got to convince teenagers to do, which isn't a drug, it's just horrible, where you huff wretched poop stink? You know what I'm talking about, right?
No.
Okay.
Thank God I don't.
Always comes around. When I was in high school, it went around. We all knew it was fake, thank goodness. But it's something it's a thing that always must stay in circulation to try to catch really dumb people trying to do drugs in high school, is when you tell them, oh, you'll get such a high if you poop in a jar and then close the jar for a week, then open it and huff the fumes. You're going to get so high.
Jankum.
You don't. You just huff a bunch of really rank poop smell and then pass out. So what I'm trying to say is, if you're, you know, a younger listener and someone's telling you, hey, you want to get high off of some poop stink, don't listen to them because they're an idiot and they don't know what they're talking about. Listen, I'm from BC, all right? I know. Masterpiece! So we also got some magazine images showing Masterpiece Wheeljack in full color, showing the current line art for the design of Masterpiece Star Saber, which this is the line art that is supposed to be indicative of what the toy might end up looking like, and it's friggin' sexy. And a silhouette of an upcoming Masterpiece, which is, to just finish out all those rumors from months ago, Ultra Magnus. And then on top of all this, Shogo Hasui and magazine showed better pictures of the exosuit that's coming with Bumblebee, and exactly as I thought, Hasui-san says it is Spike. Because who else is going to come with Bumblebee in an exosuit?
Yeah.
So, this is a nice little dump of news here. Man, now I'm saying dump and now I'm thinking about jars. Aaron, what do you think about all this Masterpiece news?
It was quite a dump.
I can tell you all of some stories about...
So, one thing I'm slightly confused about is, so the nice color shot that we got of Wheeljack then also shows his back, but with his head turned around, or does his mouth thing wrap all the way around his head? I'm not sure what that...
I think it's wrapped around his head.
...supposed to be. Okay. Because I was going to say, because I was trying to figure out, is like there some other Transformer that they're trying to kind of hint that they can do so now, off of this? Because I thought that they'd said that with it doing well, they could do single shot things.
Now but I then just
this
noticed,
kind of looked like I just, you have some square chested. Sorry, we keep Skype talking.
Yeah, we're good at this. Skype is being a good buddy. I was just going to say, I just noticed the eyes on the back of his head.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you now. What on earth is going on?
So, I don't know if they're just trying to do a turnaround in magazine format, which is just the backside of it, and you can extrapolate, you damn nerds. Or if this was some other attempt, like, look, we lose the shoulder wing things, we assemble the elbows and knees backwards for the final mode, and is there some car that has a square chest and then crap on its back?
Nope.
Maybe?
No. Because his elbows and knees are still bent the other way around.
Well, no, but I'm saying with the way that looks, if you were to assemble it the other way around. Is that some mirror point where it's like you rotate the hips and then the knees to be able to flip it? I don't know. But it was just odd that that's
really weird.
One of the things that they show.
Really weird his head is turned around like that. That is odd. Maybe there's something on the back of his head they don't want us to see.
Could be.
Maybe one last little reveal. I don't know.
But... I don't know. It's interesting. I love that they got the colors just so right on. I mean, they have the Lancia Altalita whatever thing. So it was going to be that color scheme, and it looks really beautiful. But it's just one of those, seeing it in color from them just makes it pop that much more.
Yeah. It doesn't have that haze of a Photoshop job.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about
this? Continuing to ballpark Masterpiece, I think.
How do you feel about the stripes on his back?
It's got to be there, I think. That looks like that's like the tail, like the
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, from the top of the roof down, the back window area, except for it's a race car, so it doesn't have that. That's where it's got to go. I don't know where else you'd necessarily put it without having it do some weird fold and flip, and then it'd just be... weird greebly tech detail on the backside of plastic type of detail. I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, Omegas, how are you feeling about Color Wheeljack?
He's looking good so far. Mm-hmm. I mean, the colors are spot on. Loving that. They did not photograph it at a nice angle, though, because
nope.
That just...
Nope.
No.
His legs look real funny, but it looks funny the way that Lambor's legs look funny from the wrong angle.
Well, from there you could just see, like, this... hips just kind of floating from his pelvis with just this kind of weird joint in the middle.
Yeah, I given the way that Prowl and Sideswipe turned out, I'm pretty sure you can make him look better than that.
I hope so. Those were so nice and so spot on. I can't imagine. I mean, everything else looks nice. There's just something about that just makes his legs look way skinnier than his arms. And I know, considering what his G1 toy looked like, that is not a big deal by comparison.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just thankful his arms aren't reaching his ankles.
Yeah, and I think also it doesn't help that he's a white, you know, he's got lots of white parts on a white background.
Yeah, that's like throwing me off.
Yeah, like, we get him on a more neutral background and everything, I think, will turn out okay. Like, I look at the gray prototype pictures, and it looks bulkier, just because it's gray over, you know, not gray.
Yeah,
right.
But yeah, I like the way he's turned out so far. I only brought up the stripes on his back because I've seen that as a talking point elsewhere, and I wasn't sure if you guys had an opinion on it. I honestly don't care.
Yeah. Like,
they sure are
like
stripy.
I said, you've got to dump that plastic from one mode somewhere, and on the back where I don't know of many people that pose their shells back out. So,
well, you know, you could have had it all turned inside out, then he would have also probably cost another 20 or 30 bucks.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with this myself. But yeah, he's on imminent release this summer, I believe. Aaron, how about this new stuff about Bumblebee, the battle mask, the Spike confirmation, some of the better shots we've got of Spike?
Like I said, the battle mask, I think, is, again, an easy thing that someone with a rapid prototyper or access to some of that hardware can just crank one out real easy and not have it be a big issue.
Mm.
It's a non-starter for me. I think most of the Amazon Japan exclusives have been that way. It's like, that's a neat thing to add on, but nothing that's essential.
Yeah. Nope.
The Bumblebee isn't this battle mask dude to me, so if and when he shows up in the U.S., not having that isn't going to be an issue. I'm not going to be like, oh, man, what the heck? It doesn't look like it did on the toy that everybody rapidly forgot about because the cartoon was the thing.
And I completely forgot to mention that Wheeljack's Amazon accessories, that, you know, the Hypno Chip, whatever, little lunchbox thing, yeah, which I've already forgotten about again, so I'm okay.
Yeah. That's where those are fine for me.
The what? What's fine? What are you talking about?
That they're easily forgotten.
Who?
Yes.
Hi.
Hey. The exosuit, I think Spike's the right choice. As if the head floating in this robot thing really matters. And I actually think it's neat that it is a perfect transformation. Or what was it? Complete transformation without replacement, as the whatever translated. I think that might actually be a real translation. The tweet that I saw retweeted a whole bunch. My Google Translate made it come out horrible. Perfect unformed transformation or something like that.
Well, there's a lot of little flips and floppy, hingy, yeah, flippity doos on that guy. It's a lot of words I just made up, but it looks like
That there is a lot of that, but it is a one to the other, because we have the in the phase 5 and phase 6 picture, we can see the whatever mode that exosuit turned into, and you can see the parts both places. So it's nice that it's not a parts former, and it looks it still looks like it's plenty poseable. So,
well, it looks like he even has like forward and backward shoulder rolling, which is really cool. And here's the thing that gets me. So, number one, it looks like you can at least, you know, kind of BS your way into giving him the gun arm mode that Daniel used to shoot down the acid cover. Blasted son. No, dad. Sorry. But it also looks like he's got a little panel on his arm, so he can let it, maybe, I'm not expecting it, but do you see the little square panel on the flat of one arm? What if that flips up and there's little buttons inside?
That might happen.
That'd be kind of cool. Could be just like a tiny little friction flip.
Yeah.
That would be, like, I'm not expecting it, but I'm seeing that line there, and I'm like, oh. Yeah, I'm excited about this exosuit. This looks really cool.
Yeah, and I really dig that this is coming with Bumblebee to kind of keep Bumblebee at the Masterpiece price range rather than having one come out for a much lower price.
Yeah, granted, I
a much
agree.
Lower price probably wouldn't be bad, but it keeps, like, okay, look, it's going to be about $50 for the small ones and about $100 or whatever for the big ones, and kind of price points are there for a reason, even though Japan's always kind of weird about, like, it costs what it costs, so that's what we're charging.
Yeah,
but locking in price points is not a bad thing.
I wouldn't be mad if there was a cheaper Masterpiece Bumblebee coming out, but it feels like they really want to aim for the same price window. And if you're going to make Bumblebee fit that window without making him too big, I'm so glad they're doing this rather than just giving him a billion accessories.
Yeah.
Because this is way more interesting. And, I, you know, no disrespect meant, but this is also filling in a new gap, which is the gap of the CM's Corp XL suit that may never see the light of day. So, and honestly, this is probably going to have been a better toy. So,
No, that the third-party things are always better because they have die-cast and cost three times as much
and
have love.
Y'all haven't gone through transforming CM's Corp toys like I have.
Hey,
Well, yeah, you have, so you know exactly what I'm talking about then.
Yeah.
Great company when they don't have a transforming toy. They were a great company when they... Well, that's morbid. Megas, how do you feel about some of these updates on Bumblebee?
Like the rest of the panel, face is nice, but meh. Spike himself, I'm happy to see it fully transforms. I like we actually see how much articulation it's got. Kind of disappointed the arms don't transform into the guns, they're just kind of there.
I felt like that, but then I looked at them more and I was like, you know what? What if they do and I just can't see how it works?
No. They kind of look like they're in the same spot in vehicle mode.
I don't know. Just the rotator on the elbow, the thing that flips out under the hands, like just all this stuff in there. I'm like,
I don't know.
I mean, basically, I just sit here going, for like 5 minutes. And then
we'll just keep making noises until one of us is right. My other thought is Spike would so be dead if this thing transformed with him in it.
I think that eventually, you know, as a fan gets older, one realizes his arms probably are not in the arms of that actual suit.
I hope not.
But we pretty much figured that out from the original movie, right?
Yeah, when Daniel transforms and he's got the little thing he's holding onto in the inside, the joystick.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I just imagine that you get in there and you're kind of in the fetal position inside that thing.
Well, not willingly.
No, I mean, like, and it would be freaking uncomfortable, man. Like, curling up, because I think you're basically in the torso. Knees up by your chest.
Hopefully.
I don't know, we'll see.
I would presume that's where they were. I also like that this is a nice way of getting Bumblebee up to the normal size and price point without just, like, loading him with accessories you barely remember him for.
Yeah. Make those the Amazon exclusives instead.
Yeah. It makes me wonder if this works out, what they're going to do to bulk out any other mini-bots that may potentially see release as a Masterpiece.
Daniel would be an easy first one. Wheelie, be another add-on piece. Like, if it's feasible to have, like, a small thing like this that transforms, hey, why not?
I like how Wheelie is the add-on. We're not even going to think about making him, like, his own, like, featured Masterpiece.
Nope. Add-on Wheelie.
It's the bonus.
Yeah, I'm I mean, the one problem with speculating on how this could affect future Masterpiece Toys is also, who knows if, you know, like I always say, they're in the same office, but, you know, when Hasui steps away and someone else takes over Masterpiece, they may not be of the same mind of like, yo, let's have multiple figures in a box. So, I think we'll have to see how everything goes over the next year and a half or so.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see so many updates on so many Masterpiece Toys at once, because they could have... Like, you know, all this Bumblebee stuff is so in prototype stage, they could have sat on this for another, like, 4 months, I think, and none of us would have been the wiser. Like, it wouldn't have felt like we were missing any kind of news content. So, you know, big ups to them for really just embracing the internet and, I guess, you know, print media over in Japan. And just go like, no, we'll just tweet about it. We'll answer some questions.
I also get the feeling that this has been impossible for so long that they're just really proud of the fact that it's actually happening.
It's a Volkswagen!
Yeah. It still amazes me that we got a Volkswagen, but...
Oh, by the way, for listeners who may not know, there is a photo floating around of a gray prototype Cliff Jumper based on that Bumblebee. It is confirmed to be a Photoshop, so...
Yeah.
You know, it looks cool. It's great Photoshop, and it really shows the potential, and I, you know, I bet you they will do something like that. But don't, like, take it as gospel, because it ain't. Anyway... Masterpiece days are ahead of us, but now it's new picture pick days in front of us. So, Aaron, what's your new picture pick?
Something that I have to ask, why do we need this? The
Look, if you don't have a Joe-Con, what are they going to look forward to?
Make Toys Metroplex.
Oh.
Or MCB-002 Utopia.
So... I got a couple bullet points I could rattle off for why this is viable.
I think it's viable because the Titan class one that we got from Hasbro is a bit lanky.
It's also
I think
huge.
He's long in the leg in order to be long in the leg.
Mm.
I think I like the dimensions on Utopia better. However, at the same time. It's a case of, like, man, the Hasbro one just came out, and really, from all reports, it didn't do too well. Do you think that yours is going to do better?
So, the one thing that I know has drawn some people to this is that, while this is big, like, you know, going by size comparisons, people have figured out, because the, you know, Make Toys always uses the same placemat, this guy's about a head or three bigger than Giant, and much wider. Still places him under 2 feet tall. But, yeah. Some people are more into this almost simply because it's not as enormous as the Titan one, but it's still pretty big. The other thing I think... Well, here's the thing. So, and this is all kind of me recollecting stuff. Excuse me. Way back in the day, like back in like 09 era, I heard from someone that there was a designer who feasibly could be working at Make Toys now, given the way that all the connections work. There was a designer who back in 09, when all this stuff was really new... was absolutely set on doing a CityBot. He had a design in mind, and it was specifically a design that did not give a flying crap about price point, or whether anyone would be able to afford to buy it. The guy just really wanted to make it because it's what he wanted to do. Which I really appreciate. And yeah, as soon as I saw this, I was like, I wonder, like, this may not be it. You know, like, you know, full transparency, I have no idea what it could have been. I didn't see any pictures or anything. I just heard this... you know, third hand, but this really matches the profile of that idea because this looks like someone who just friggin' wants to make their Metroplex.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the reason why this is being made, then I applaud that greatly because, yeah, like, in terms of the marketplace, this is very dangerous. There's recently been a Metroplex. A lot of people are, if you look at how apparently Planet X's Project Genesis did, a lot of people were not willing to spend big money on a big indie toy. And there's no confirmation of a price. There's a rumored price of $400 that I as far as I know, has absolutely no basis in reality. So it's like that is a hoax that turned into fact in the thread. Don't believe that right now. But this guy is as big as Giant, so I would assume Giant's style price is like $250 to $350, and who knows what else this toy does.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
What else is inside the limbs? Because we're only seeing three modes. Very nice looking modes. Like, I really like the cleanliness of the alt modes. That is, you know, and it's the one thing missing from the new Metroplex is a cleanliness on either of his two alt modes.
A sticker sheet that's worth half a damn. Sorry.
Huh?
I still have half the stickers for my Metroplex that are just going to stay on the sheet because I have no idea.
I am still going to go through with the... Now that I have a spare copy of the sheet, thanks to Malwave, I'm going to go through with trying to sticker Metroplex with his stock stickers before I tear them all off and put the repper labels on.
Good luck.
Thank you. It's going to be a... That's going to be a weekend. I really think this looks cool. I think that given that Giant is still popping up on the market now and then, this isn't going to be something that's going to be hard to track down if you're eventually willing to pay whatever it costs. I think it will be cost prohibitive. I don't think that this thing, like I said, I don't think this thing's being made with the intent of being very market savvy. This really looks like a passion project, which is my favorite reason why any third party thing would get made, because that's why they got made originally. So
those are great ideas, but man,
like I'm super behind this entirely because there is no market viability. I'm like, yeah, this is someone who just wants to do it. And right now, given the attitude and tone of not just the marketplace, but the way that a lot of these companies have responded to the marketplace right now, I think this is actually kind of a breath of fresh air. It's like, no, this is a completely unsurefire bet from a very respected name. And it looks like they're just going to go for it. And I don't fault anyone who says, I have no interest in this, because whatever, it's not for you, it's for whoever designed this. Yeah. This looks like something that was made for the guy who designed it first, and it happens to be on sale, and I think that's completely viable in an indie marketplace. That's the whole purpose of an indie marketplace, is to not be, or you know, the dream is of an indie marketplace is to not be at the behest of your buyers. It is for your buyers to happen to have the same taste as you. Which is something that has almost utterly disappeared from, you know, the market that we have a sub forum for, but I'm into it being there again. I think this is great. I don't know if I'm going to get it. I think it's great. Omegas, how do you feel about the Utopia?
I kind of feel the same way a lot do, where...
And by the way, you can like it without buying it. I'll just throw it there.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. That said, I'm not that big on it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's... I don't know, for some reason, aesthetically, I do kind of like the lankier look of Metroplex. I do like how it just... It gives him the height look just as an optical illusion, aside from just the fact that it's 2 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
So well, that...
Hmm? I was going to say, the lanky look, honestly, you know, he's not bulky, but his silhouette is so powerful... It offsets a lot of lankiness for me in the Generations Metroplex.
There's just something that looks a little too bulky and cumbersome about this one, and you know, I can't get by the idea that in city mode, none of his ramps touch ground.
Well, maybe you should be a more daring driver. So here's the thing.
I'm like, that's my one big complaint out of the new Metroplex, the official Metro, is that his main black ramp doesn't hit the ground. Well, and now there's a third party one. Third party is always better. None of its ramps hit the ground.
The Generations ramp can hit the ground if you give it a sheer 90 degree drop at the end.
Okay. Then it's still doing better than the coveted third party perfection.
That's because proper first party scampers got balls is why. He's like, I can drive off that. I'm good. The thing about the city mode on this, which I think is, there's a lot of little details on this, which I think are getting overlooked by some of the at-a-glance stuff I was doing before. Maybe other people overlooked them too. Even his city mode, despite some of them being upside down, at the very center, it still has tank treads touching the ground. It's one thing I noticed.
Yeah, I see that.
And, aesthetically, he's got tank treads everywhere rather than wheels. Like this guy, this Utopia strikes me a lot more of a Fortress Maximus. This is a base that stands up to be a robot so it can shoot all its guns. Whereas, as I said this before, Generations Metroplex is a giant Titan-sized robot who happens to turn into a mobile battle station. Like the intents are the other way around. And on this one, like this is very clearly like this is a city that stood up in robot mode. It is all, but you know, Maki Toys, like, it's got the whole Maki Toys look that you see in Giant. Like, his head is this tiny visored thing just buried up inside the meat of his collar. Like, from many angles, you literally can't see his face. It's so buried up there. That's a very Giant thing. I think it's just the aesthetic of the designer in question. But, yeah, I'm really interested to see how they sell this, how much they sell it for, when and where they sell it. And I'm curious how many people go for it. I hope that this does not cause any kind of damage to the company in terms of financials, because, like I said, this is exactly what indie anything is for, is to make what you want, no matter what anyone else says.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I'm going to buy it, but I really respect it. Doing that thing where you pound your chest twice and point at it and go like, yeah. Anyway, Omega's Prime. We've talked about Obsidian a whole lot. What's your new picture pick?
Mine's kind of an amalgamation, really. There's a bunch of related things here. So, as mentioned before, Transformers Prime. The run is done. We have the finale movie. It's on Netflix. Everyone's had the chance to see it. It's everywhere. The DVDs are out. It's done. Time to sell piggy banks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because not only do we have ones shaped like their heads, we also have a Bumblebee that looks like a pig.
Well, what else is a Bumblebee piggy bank supposed to look like?
Piggy bank, come on.
Yeah.
I know, but you have a non-piggy coin bank, and then you have the very pig piggy bank.
Well, one's for people who are vegan, the other's for people who are okay with eating bacon.
But you're not gonna...
It's the artistic intent of it. Like, even if you're not going to eat the piggy bank, but if you don't like pigs being slaughtered, why would you have a pig that's a bank? That'd be playing into the...
If I want to eat the piggy bank, that's my choice.
It is. And I'm totally cool with you eating a piggy bank. In fact, you should probably videotape it. But, oh man, I didn't notice how wall-eyed Bumblebee is.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
I just noticed. Sorry, that really took me out of this whole thing. It's like, oh, I tried to look him in the eye, and I
couldn't.
Want to
be that dumb. Oh, that's dumb. That's dumb, yeah.
But yeah, banks. Save your money. Yeah.
Just in general, like, we got the one shot of the piggy bank, and then the coin banks, which are just their heads.
Mm-hmm. What are these things that have a gear for the middle of their body?
Those are the Kinder eggs. What used to be Kinder eggs.
You mean the company that isn't Kinder and... Oh, wait, Ferrero. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aside from a few of them that look like a steamroller ran over them in an old Looney Tunes cartoon, there's some there. It's not a bad idea.
I wonder why they have a gear thing. Like, it feels like it's supposed to... It feels like they're all supposed to plug into something.
The gear is just kind of a universal construction piece.
They all look like they belong in a viewfinder. Like a magic viewfinder thing. They should have scenes from the cartoon in their chests.
Hmm. A little much.
Oh, there's some G1 in here. What's this G1?
The G1 is hysterical. That's what I want. That's what I like more than anything.
What is it?
They are... Generation 1 Universal Studios exclusive figurines.
All right.
Okay, so we have Optimus, who is very dumpy and strangely proportioned.
And he's got no crotch.
None at all. We have Megatron, who is clearly designed after the Reveltech.
That is the Reveltech. Those are the same proportions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to find and then we one have, to put up next to it.
And then we have the giant Bumblebee.
Oh, everyone loves Bumblebee. That's weird.
Wait, like, it's like three different people designed these things, and one guy just plagiarized something off Google Images.
Or he just has a Reveltech Megatron. He just, you know, he spat a bunch of resin on it and farted some plastic into the mold.
Exactly. He really likes Megatron.
I just find it hysterical that this is like a whole series and none of them look like they go in the same shelf.
They remind me a lot of Party Favors.
Yeah. Like that Optimus Prime needs to be on top of a cake.
Yeah. I bet you that Optimus Prime will find its way on top of a cake somewhere.
You're talking the Universal Studios ones?
Yeah.
I think with the Universal Studios tag on there, that might just be some, look, we need something for after the ride. What horrible, you're out of the ride, now you have to walk to the gift shop stuff can we throw in there?
But it's Universal Studios. Really?
Why not? You have that image, you can plastic mold inject this thing, have it for $6 on a hanger, $10 on a hanger. Yeah, that's about right, $10 on a hanger. After at a theme park after you've walked out of the ride. Yeah. Yeah. Kids are screaming for Transformers thing. Look, here's a Transformers thing.
Don't open until we get home. Then they get home. Mom, it doesn't transform!
Yep.
Worst birthday ever.
They all are.
Aww. Also, there's things that squish. Little squishable head things.
Mashems.
Mashems. What are they?
They're little squishable things.
Yeah. They're super squishy.
Are they like stress balls? Can I just...
I think kind of. I think Turtles had a line of them that I saw.
Okay. Okay.
They squish.
I can work with this. You know what? If that's the whole thing, if that's the whole line, those six, the sculpts are actually kind of cool. The ratchet looks hilarious. Can you imagine squishing that ratchet with that face? It's like,
the crazy eye. I don't think it has like the pop-out eyes.
It should. Well, now we have a whole bunch of, what are these things called? Tchotchkes. We got a bunch of new Transformers tchotchkes for the Tchotchkes Chasers to chase. Incidentally, dear listener, challenge to you. Say Tchotchkes Chaser 3 times super fast without spitting. Go for it.
Yes, even the people who are listening to this at work or on the bus.
Right now, really loud. Make direct eye contact with the person closest to you who's trying not to look at you while you're doing it. It'll be worth it, trust me. My own new picture pick is a piece of artwork. Kind of comics-oriented, but I really want to talk about this on here. It's the cover to Windblade issue 3. There's a clean version up on Tumblr by the artist. It's also linked in the front page. First off, it's just a really pretty picture. Like, it's well-composited, it's got some cool artistry to it, it looks really cool. For those who are refusing to look at it, it's the Windblade cover where she's got all the... It looks like blood is dripping down from the top of the frame. It just
and
looks...
And then they flipped the artwork. Why would you do... Oh, well. Sorry.
Huh?
Between the two artworks, it's flipped between the clean and the cover.
Oh, it is.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice. The clean one is probably how it was drawn, I'm going to assume.
That would be my guess.
Maybe because... You know what? Maybe it had to do with the placement of the Transformers logo. Because it's the only thing that's really noticeable that's flipped is the diagonal shine on the top of Windblade's head.
No, maybe that everything flips.
Yeah, but I mean, like...
Look at the wide stripes versus the angle on the head.
A lot of this image is very symmetrical.
Yeah.
So, the shine on the very top blade of her head, I think, maybe was messing with just the composition of the IDW and the Transformers text.
That could be.
That'd be my assumption. But anyway, Sarah Stone is the artist on the Windblade miniseries. Here's the things I found out. Number one, she's a pretty good artist. Number two, she does her own inking. Number three, she does her own coloring. The Windblade book is, like, 100% just her working on the art. That's friggin' cool! Like, and I don't mean this as any kind of slight to any other artist working out there. I love a whole bunch of them, if not almost all of them, as hopefully it's well known by them and other people. Alex Milne's fantastic. Josh Perez, fantastic. Josh Bertram's fantastic. Livio Remondelli, fantastic. I can name tons more. I don't want to continue naming because then I'll forget a name for sure, and then someone will be sad. But,
start hurting feelings.
That's right.
No love for Guido Guidi.
Hey, Guido Guidi has a print going up on Acid Free Gallery. That's pretty top tier. Sarah Stone, I really want to highlight, because she's going to be a guest along with many other artists at TFCon. her work on this Windblade book, everything I've seen, has been really good. And it's the first I've seen of her in a Transformers fictional setting. So I really hope she sticks around after the Windblade miniseries, because this is some really good art, and she needs to work on more Transformers stuff. Especially if she's her own colorist and inker. Like, that's freaking cool.
Kind of a rarity, I want to say.
Almost always there's a separate colorist. There's an artistry side to it, but I would imagine there's also an expediency side to it. But for like what she's doing, is it looks really good. And it seems like she's able to get it all done, like, you know, in time for deadlines. So, good on Sarah Stone. She's needs to stick around. You know, I could... You know, no knock against the fellow, you know, personally. Ulysses, what's his name, from Heart of Darkness. I'm okay with not seeing that again in Transformers. Sarah Stone, complete opposite reaction. She needs to stick around a long time. So I wanted to highlight that, if any listeners out there have not been paying attention to books
lately. You're just hoping for a TFCon interview, aren't you?
I want to interview every artist at TFCon, because last TFCon I didn't interview any artists, and I felt really bad about that afterwards. I want to just roam the artist alley, microphone in hand, picking my worst spots. Oh, you're in the middle of your 15th sketch of the day, and you have 15 more to go. Well, if you could just sit down for a second and talk to me. And then, you know, I get punched in the face.
For floor interviews like that, I'm sorry, but you don't have enough geek lateral lisp going on. You need to make it much more awkward.
excuse me, Mr. Milne? Mr. Milne?
Yeah. Yeah, that's getting it there.
Mr. Milne!
Yeah.
I'm just remembering BotCon 04, the guy that had the Home Alone Walkman recorder thing, trying to get a interview out of Peter Cullen and having to tell him to move
along. No, that wasn't the Home Alone record. He was the guy with the giant 2-spool 8mm audio recorder thing, wasn't he?
No, he was the one that had the...
Wasn't it hanging around his neck?
No. Now, was there another guy that had one of those?
He asked a question at Dan Gilvezan's panel. This is 04, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the guy who was carrying all of his loot in a big sack, and he was dragging behind him. He had a giant microphone and this enormous 2-spool audio recorder from, like, the 60s hanging around his neck, recording everything he was doing.
No, the one I remember
was wearing the
The interview line... And he had the Talk Boy. I had to look it up.
The Talk Boy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Or something that was extremely similar to it.
All right, this must be a different guy then. Two archaic pieces of technology.
Was that like silver sweatpants guy?
Yeah, I'm talking about the guy who's wearing like the... Well, when I saw him, it wasn't silver anymore. But yeah, he had like the gray sweatpants, sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Had the growing...
With the lines...
Yeah, and the growing stain over the course of three days.
Maybe I saw him with his backup or something. I don't.
So he had a Talk Boy as a backup to the giant 2-spool recorder I saw him with. That's 2004 podcasting right there.
Yeah.
You know, that's better than I was doing. I had a mic. I had nothing. I wasn't recording anything at that BotCon, I think. Or was I?
I don't think so.
I had my mini disc recorder back then, but I don't think I brought it to 04. I only brought it to like 2000 and 2001. I need to dig up those mini discs. I have some fully recorded panels that need to be out there.
That's all right. They'll get them up eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Right after they have JoeCon registration up.
That was a witty
callback, kids.
That was a witty jibe, Aaron. That was a cold riff. That was a jolly ribbing. I don't remember what we're talking about anymore. That was our new pick section. Let's move on to, some convention talk. Good segue, Aaron.
Yeah, see, I was trying for you.
We've got some more guest announcements for BotCon 2014. First up, Samantha Newark, who's the voice of Ariel from that episode of G1, as well as the Zemojian Empress from The Face of Nijika. She also was, I believe, the voice of Jem.
Yeah.
From Gem and the Holograms. being billed for her Transformers appearances. She's going to be one of the guests at BotCon 2014, just in time to coincide with the announcement of John Chu's decision, or not decision, but John Chu's directing of a live-action Gem movie that's happening in place of a G.I. Joe 3. That's some pretty convenient timing that feels like BotCon's being used as a vehicle for the Gem movie, I'm not going to lie. Even though, as far as I've heard from some Twitter postings I saw, the Gem movie has no original showrunners involved with it. And more so, the Gem movie has no women working on it whatsoever. It was a somewhat irate tweet that I caught.
Yeah.
Which I could definitely see some of the aggro, because if this is... Like, you think about it, right? If it is being made by the same machine that made basically the military porn of the G.I. Joe movies and the Transformers movies, I could see some very big cognitive dissonance between that and a Gem movie going in.
To say the least.
So, yeah, you know, I said for you know, listeners out there who wanted to see some female creatives heading up a Gem movie, I feel for you. Because, yeah, this did on paper, that reads frigging not crazy, just really weird. Really weird. But, hey, we're going to have Samantha Newark at BotCon 2014. I honestly don't know her work all that well. She was also the high school girl in Bot. Elise Presser. And she's done a whole bunch of singing. Just a whole bunch of songwriting. She looks like the kind of person who I'd really want to research before going to BotCon. So I could, like, have any kind of, like, pertinent questions to ask.
Yeah. Not just like, so how was...
What was it like
with Chris Latta?
What was it like working with Chris Latta? What was it like being a... You became Alita 1. Why didn't you voice Alita 1 in the episode with Alita 1? She's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Alita what now?
Yeah.
Who's it?
Alita what? What did you call me? So, that you know what? It's cool to see a fresh face and one of the big voice actors of the 80s, because she was a main character on another show at a convention. And I don't mean any slight by this. I never actually watched Gem as a kid. I watched My Little Pony when I was a kid in the 80s. I saw that a couple times, but I just never caught Gem. So I don't know nothing about Gem. Except that, you know, the theme song. Everyone knows the theme song at this point. Truly outrageous, etc., etc. Aaron, any thoughts on Samantha Newark attending BotCon 2014?
Not really.
I feel really bad because I feel like I really should have thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big name, unfortunately. I guess not on her part. It's not her fault. She's not a big name in Transformers.
Yeah, and you know what? She's a bigger name than Tommy Kennedy.
Yeah.
There is a fandom that really wants to talk to her who will probably come to...
Yeah, and it could be the best guest ever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's just... For as much as, again, thrilling 30th anniversary, greatest Transformers year ever.
We got to drop it. We got to drop it.
Blah, blah, blah. I know. But it's just one of those things that consistently the hype is like, this should be the big year. And it's all
not.
The big people are going to be in Texas.
It's not the big year. The Texas Comic Con bought them all.
Yeah.
You got to. BotCon 2014, the worst thing to do is to go to BotCon 2014 thinking about the anniversaries attached to BotCon 2014.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's. It'd be great if every year was the bestest. But.
Well, Omegas, have you got any thoughts on Samantha Newark coming to BotCon?
I pretty much got my thoughts off on Twitter a few days ago.
Act them out for me.
Act them out?
Yes. What's your dramatic interpretation?
Reenact it, or should I start interpretive dance?
Just, interpretive dance. Reenact
the typing of Twitter messages. Oh, yep. All right. Oh, he could have put more in that tweet. Wow.
That's a lot of inner hits.
That's
mad, man.
That's a whole bunch of FGH in all caps. Well, I don't know what's going on now. I think he had a seizure.
I know it's silly to get into... Oh, it's the 30th anniversary, and this is a big name. Da, 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 da. It does stick in my craw. It really does.
Yeah, I don't blame anyone, you know?
It's like, and it, more for like the way they were advertising. Because it's like, okay. You know, it's another big Hasbro property from the 80s, all right? If you want to get Jem, fine, get Jem. But they promote her as the voice of Ariel.
Yeah, honestly, that's a bit of a disservice, in my opinion. It's like, you know what? If it's Jem, just say, hey, we got Jem, by the way, she played these characters. But, you know, just jump on the Jem side of it harder. Yeah, work like, Jem into the story. You know?
Well, and it's a thing that I think, not, again, to horribly compare it to another convention, but you know what? It's okay to be like, you know what? We know if you're watching Transformers, you probably watch Jem. Enjoy the shows of your youth or whatever, and not have to be, oh, it's only Transformers. Because, again, I mean, I know of the second, third-hand horror stories of in the past where they got upset with retailers because come Sunday they didn't have their required 75% Transformer stock or whatever. That it's like, you know what, just how about we can celebrate like toys and 80s and 90s properties and fun. Can we have fun, not just Transformers fun?
No.
No. I'm out then.
Aaron, you should vote with your... I'm not going to go there.
I am.
No, there's just something about... Okay, if you're going to embrace the Jem, that's fine.
Yeah.
I would get on board for that. But it almost feels like they're in denial. Because, okay, here's a little hint for you. For those who are not up on G1, Ariel is the character you don't care about because she's not Alita 1 yet. And she pretty much existed to make Orion Pax look like a macho douche.
Yeah.
So, happy 30th.
Yeah, I mean, I hopefully it's coming across. I'm certainly not happy whenever I say, oh, we gotta just not think about the anniversary attached to this year. Because that, the fact that I'm saying that, excuse me, my throat's getting all froggy. The fact that I'm saying that about both the 30th anniversary of Transformers and, I believe, the 20th anniversary of BotCon simultaneously happening on the same... It's really weird that neither of those seem to really be part of the equation in the show itself. But I think it could be pretty cool. Hopefully she's a good panelist, because when, like, some of these G1 actors, you know, 80s actors, when they come in, they just rock the panel. Like, the Q&A is just badass. And I am, you know what? I'm really happy for all the Jem fans who are finally getting, as far as I know at least, they're finally getting, like, another clear outlet to meet up with, you know, their lead voice actor. I'm not sure if she does a whole lot of other shows, but now you can mix seeing her with the Transformers. We've also got two other guests that were announced. Two people who honestly should just be allowed to come to BotCon or any Transformers convention without paying money. Because it's in the Pasadena area. Derek J. Wyatt and Marty Eisenberg will be in attendance, and they're being touted as people you can see at the show. They're on the guest list. I think they would have shown up anyway. At least I know Derek J. Wyatt would have shown up anyway. Derek J. Wyatt should just get a pass. He should have a badge that says, I'm allowed to come to this convention because it's about Transformers and I worked on them. Because he's, since animated, I think he's at least once or twice paid to go to a convention. And to me, that seems kind of ludicrous. But I also I'm of the mindset that once you work on a property, you're a part of that property and you should be allowed to go where that property goes. You know, legalities notwithstanding. So, yeah, they're going to show up, and I want to point out, I'm not going to say names, because why should I? I don't have to, it's a free country, but there was in the thread, or a thread, perhaps not even on TFW, that I saw, in reaction to this, someone was like, I'm all pumped because I hated animated, and now maybe I can get a chance to say it to their faces. How much I want to punch them every time I see their stupid design. And I was like, man.
You know, behind this keyboard, I'm like 6'5", 225 cut. I got a six pack you can open a beer bottle on.
I have not seen big muscles. I have not seen someone talk about how they want to go to BotCon to start a fight with one of the guests in years.
Yeah.
It's been years since I've seen that.
Now what? 5-year-old property?
like, it's been years. I think maybe there was one or two of those posts when Orsi and Kurtzman showed up at BotCon, I want to say 08, 07, one of the two. But otherwise, the only other time I can remember is when Bob Skier was going to come to a BotCon and then didn't because people said they were going to kill him. And he took that kind of seriously, and he decided to not show up. So I just wanted to point out also, if you think I'm kind of picking on someone, the same line of discussion led to the point of... someone pointing out that that's kind of illegal to punch a guest in the face. And they're like, oh, I'd have to get security on me first. I could just hawk a loogie at them and spit on them from a balcony. No one will know it was me. And I was like, this is great. This is like the most cartoony, ludicrous person I've ever seen all week. This is fantastic. There's someone who's sitting there typing about how they're going to pay to go to BotCon to spit on somebody from the upper floor. And it also, it's disgusting. And that notion ideally is a joke, because if it's not some kind of self-deprecating ass joke persona that you're putting on, that is like the scumbaggiest stuff I've read in a long time as far as convention tactics go. I'm going to go to the con and spit on the guests if I can hawk up the loogie to do it. What a bunch of nonsense, and I dare say, what a scumbag thing to say. If a listener would like to tell me how that's not a scumbag thing to say, please do. I'd love to hear it. I'm probably not going to agree. Let's say it right now. In general, let me just say, you know, don't go to a convention with the intent of spitting on or punching guests. If you don't like what someone did, that's one thing. If you want to go and actively harass them at a function they've been invited to as a guest, and they aren't like, you know what, Fred Phelps is not alive anymore, so there are no more people to to go and harass like that. If you even were going to. It's not worth anyone's time. It's not worth your time. It's not worth their time. You're making a bunch of trouble for the convention. And most of all, you're not going to do it. So, man, I was like, I haven't seen someone posting like this in years. In years! I can't believe this is actually happening. And over-animated, too, in 2014. I was all excited.
It was just some 12-year-old actually just found the internet. And
I've had this built up ever since I was 8 years old watching animated. It's been at least 4 years, right? 07?
Yeah. 07, that's 6, 7 years?
Yeah. Anyway, there's also just like, you know, general reactions to this. Some people taking the wrong idea from this of, oh, maybe they're there to promote some kind of animated comic or animated BotCon fun pub joint. Maybe they are, but they also live there. So that's probably why they're going. Anyway, Omegas, any thoughts on Derek J. White and Marty Eisenberg coming to BotCon again?
I wish a BotCon I could feasibly go to would have them.
Nope. They don't leave the West Coast.
No, apparently not.
It's in the contract.
Mm. No, it's cool though. Like, anytime you get a creator of someone who's involved in the creative process into the shows, you know, I really like when you get the chance to
spit on them.
Yeah, yeah. Why not?
You paid your money. Yeah, just over the banister. Why limit it to guests of the show? Why not just spit on other people who are at the show too?
Jeez.
Oh, because you'll go dry eventually. I mean, unless you're drinking a lot of water, in which case, then
you
have a different...
balls to go dry.
I was going to say, if you drink plenty of water, then you'd have a different fluid to fire away with.
Yeah, just stand on the top banister of BotCon, just spraying the golden shower.
They won't know who did it.
Yeah, that's right. Where is this coming from? It couldn't be man urinating from the top floor. What's happening? Anyway, there was a point
so
being made.
So I like when they have creators there.
To urinate on from the top floor of the convention center, yeah!
I'm not talking to you anymore. God, you ruin everything.
If it's any consolation, I'm not the one who said urine first. Well, technically I am.
But you,
I'm not
you
the
are.
One who, I'm not the one who implied it first. That was all Aaron.
Yeah.
I just don't like having my sentences and thoughts disrupted so we can pee on the guests.
No, hypothetically pee on the guest. I mean, I'm not really going to do it.
We're not actually going to urinate on guests.
I'm on the internet.
Well, no. Of course you're not actually going to do it.
But yeah, it would be nice to have those guests around in a more accessible venue for y'all out east. Well, you know what? There will be lots of pictures taken.
I'm sure there will be.
Lots of cell phone video taken. Doubly so if someone actually starts spitting and urinating off one of the banisters of the convention center.
See a guy walk up.
Oh, dude, it was you!
What's your problem, man? Come on.
I have a condition, all right? Some poor person with an actual condition we've just condemned.
Yeah.
I feel really bad.
You shouldn't. They're used to it.
Aaron, what are your thoughts on urinating at a convention publicly?
Publicly, it's not cool. I mean, unless you're at a very specific type of thing, in which case it's probably not Transformers podcast appropriate.
Yeah, okay, you know, I'm going to say right now, for podcast listeners, I apologize for whatever chapter image is being used right now.
It's a picture of Derek J. White. What's the problem? That's kind of cold.
Just in case.
Wow, cold. Wow. I'm just really hung up on the idea now of like what kind of bodily fluids people are going to convince themselves to do because they really, really hate a cartoon.
No, see, if this was like, if they were like really good at marketing this, you know, you invite Bob Skur and like set up a dunk tank or something.
Some really angry guy just like rapidly scratching his head trying to land pinpoint flakes of dandruff from the third floor.
Okay, what's it?
This is for Organic Cybertron!
So, who knows Professor Chaos from South Park?
I do.
Because these all sound like his plans.
You know what? That's something else I forgot. What about the battle cry that has to go with all this? Like the guy who's, you know, peeing off the top floor or trying to hit someone at the bottom floor.
Urination awakens!
That was what I was thinking of, but that kind of won the whole thing.
I'm just thinking like the broken-throated scream. Ah! Like, what's going on up there?
I don't want to know. Ah! Oh, no, I ran out. Get me some more Gatorade.
The tangents we take.
Well, you know what? It's all thanks to crazy people talking about how they're going to spit on convention guests. So, to them, I say thank you. I salute you. Also, stop being a scumbag.
Yeah.
BotCon topics, ladies and gentlemen. Let's move on. We've got a listener question from Carito Prime. Listener question has nothing to do with urination or spitting, or in fact, any kind of fluid from the body. But we're going to talk about it anyway. It says, hello, once again, Commander Vangelis, the Crusaders of the Even Numbers. This is aimed at you guys. It is me, Carito Prime, here with another amalgamation of questions for you and your companions, YouTube TJ, and that guy that is not Lupus.
Aww.
Sorry.
I miss Lupus.
Me too.
Yeah.
Still on Facebook. He's busy.
Yeah.
That fella's keeping busy with life. Impressive. So without further ado, let's get to it. Question number one. I ended up writing an entire fanfic, but I will simplify it for the sake of not having 3-page-long question. So, if my subtitles from the videos I do became evil and built a Transformers body, what type of body would that be? I'll answer that question. A camera. Because if I were in that position, I would have no imagination.
Didn't that happen once?
Shh. Now, would it be like the old-school over-the-shoulder VHS camera?
I'd want to work in themes.
Okay. Right?
Of like different kind of cameras for different stages of whatever this character transformation is.
Is that like the first form?
Or is it the last form? Is it the final revenge of the media, you know? Hey, I've wiped all the hard drives on planet Earth. And this spool of film just starts feeding into a camera. It's like, hard drives were not the only thing organic, and then starts like whipping me with all the and spraying all this like crazy the chemicals they used to develop that stuff. All these weird fossil fuels and things everywhere, lots of goo, lots of latex, lots of body socks. That's what I would do. If I were writing this, that's what I would be writing. I kind of decided to take over that question myself. I don't, unless you two have any input, I feel like I was running with that one.
That's I was going to say camera if it was up to me, but
well,
and then my input was the old, like I said, the VHS over the shoulder looks like it's a like local news channel, but instead it's just somebody from the 80s.
Well, let's move on to question number two. Hasbro decides to star a new Transformers line, Transformers Crossovers DC Comics. Because apparently Mattel just stops existing. You know what? That might happen. What character and their vehicle mode would you like to see in this line? Do as many as you want, but please choose at least two. He'd like to see a crossover Metron that can turn into his chair so he can buy all of them and go all junky on. And he wants a Green Lantern that turns into a ring and a lantern. I like the literality of some of these. So in a DC Comics crossovers Transformers line, Omegas, what would you want to see?
I knew DC as well.
I've got the softball one, the easy one, the Batmobile and Batman. Come on,
Batman and anything really
that's painted black.
Yeah,
yeah.
Only
or,
works
or
in
very
black.
Dark gray.
Son of a bitch.
I'm not engaging. I'm not. No, I almost did. No. There's enough of that to happen later on. Omegas, so Aaron's got the Batman Batmobile mm-hmm. connection. What have you got? Superman turns into a cape?
No, it's like. See, that, yeah, Crossovers does weirder things like that, and. If I learn anything from Crossovers Marvel, it's that they turn into things that would be completely useless to them.
That's right.
You know, Iron Man turning into a jet. Hint, hint, he can fly already.
What?
Maybe the jet goes faster.
If the jet could go faster, why wouldn't he just make his suit out of the jet?
He did. He made his suit into the jet to go faster. Come on.
Why wouldn't he just make his suit go faster like the jet?
Aerodynamics.
Yes, he's smaller.
Do you physics
as a suit?
Does Tony Stark have mass shifting? We don't know. Maybe he's just turning it into something that's more aerodynamic.
He doesn't have mass shifting because he had to make the Hulk Buster.
So then how is the suit smaller than the jet? It's the same material.
Do physicists even really do work? Because, I mean, I heard biologists are the guys who do all the real science work around here. Like, you know, really.
Now we're talking a podcast crossover.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just saying, I heard physicists are just a bunch of glorified mathematicians.
Don't get me started on footwear.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, like, crossovers have to be, like, something ridiculous. Like, oh, so if it's Superman, then it's got to be, like, a locomotive, because he's supposed to be more powerful than one.
Right? I would... Holy crap!
See, that's cool!
I would love a train that turned into Superman. Because, yeah, why would he ever turn into a train?
They like do the Hulk... it just to play on that old intro from the old cartoon.
It's like the Hulk bulldozer. Of yeah. all the vehicles the Hulk yeah. could ever turn into, why a bulldozer? The one vehicle that he literally does not ever need to turn into.
Like an Aquaman submarine.
Yes. Now it's crossovers.
So I have a great one. I thought it was great, but I'm way more into these. I want to see Shazam just have him turn into a giant lightning bolt. Like just all like Cybertron Thunderblast style, Shazam just curls up into a fetal Lolita position, and his cape just closes around him in the shape of a lightning bolt. I'd like to see it. Well, I think that we've killed that question pretty hardcore. So let's move on to number three. High Moon Studios has already earned the love of many Transformers fans with its series of pre-G1 games. So his question is this. Would you like to see a new Transformers game from High Moon that focuses on different Transformers series like Animated or the Unicron Trilogy? I don't want to answer immediately, so I'm going to say, Aaron, what's your thought on this question?
I think they've done a good job with the space they've been given before. But now, as far as I know, High Moon doesn't terribly exist in its previous state. Thanks, Deadpool.
Oh, that was such a mistake. That dumb game. That's stupid.
Yeah. That's what happens, though, when you do a labor of love.
And then don't get a voice director to make sure Nolan North is actually performing.
Yeah.
That was so like, I think that is the worst Nolan North performance I've ever heard. Was his Deadpool.
Yeah.
That was just Nolan North screaming.
Yeah. You know, animated, I don't think would work with the High Moon feel. Maybe some of the Unicron Trilogy stuff would.
I think that could really work well, because Unicron Trilogy, I think, could fit into the Unreal Engine like a glove. I forgot to mention, Carino Prime said he personally would love to see a Beast Wars game or an Armada game because of very good memories of the old PS2 Armada game, even if it was sadistically difficult.
Hey, that PS2 game was pretty good. For a long time, that was the best Transformers game we'd had.
Oh, yeah. You got the voice actors and the tidal wave fight. Oh my god, the tidal wave fight.
That was the whole game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right there. So,
yeah, it's like you fought Unicron later, but screw it, it's not tidal wave.
Who cares? Yeah. That was the best tidal wave. That was the full realization of tidal wave as a Transformer.
Oh yeah.
That was so good, that sequence. I've watched it on YouTube sometimes. I don't have a PS2 handy.
The stage before where you're actually in tidal wave.
You're in a ship.
You're in a ship. It is tidal wave.
Ship is the Transformer.
Oh my god! Like you can actually go inside and find his head.
Yeah, that was so good. Transform.
Part of me would love a Beast Wars game just to wipe out the one they did for the PlayStation.
What Beast Wars game for the PlayStation?
Keep thinking that. That's for the best.
No, I'm actively thinking that. I'm helping. What are you talking about?
Okay, presumably, if there was a PlayStation 1 Beast Wars game that was really, really awful, I would want the memory of it wiped out.
Why would you make a piece of garbage video game called Transformers where you're punished for transforming that has a really awful dub of the FMV movie that opens the clip, even though you're using an FMV clip to open up the whole game anyway? You've for some reason gone in and redubbed all the actors with much worse actors, and you have this whole Beast Wars game that says Transformers on the front, but you have to play the whole game as beasts, because when you turn into a robot, you start to die. Why would anyone make that game?
I don't know.
I rented that. I spent money renting that once.
I rented the fighting game they did later.
I should have rented that fighting game. I rented the PS1 game. That was the biggest waste of $5 or $6 in my entire life.
Ah, no, huh?
I've wasted a lot of money.
I've seen your purchasing habits. That might maybe in the top 10?
I spent money to take that disc home and then bring it back somewhere. I think it's the top one. So now we know the other thing to set me off. You start off by talking about Super Link. Wait till I calm down, then start talking about the PS1 Beast Wars game. We're all good. We're all good. I think that Unicron Trilogy could fit that aesthetic really well. The Armada, you know. Cybertron, Energon could fit the aesthetic of that engine really well. I don't think High Moon have any passion for anything that isn't G1, though, at its core. Like, they have a passion for Transformers, they have a passion for the story Bible, but I think that if you took away all the G1 stuff, the passion of that team would also diminish somewhat. And I heard that would be pretty apparent if you looked at, say, the Dark of the Moon game. Although, also, they were just, I think, really wanting to do Fall of Cybertron at the time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on. Got an off-topic question to close this out. It's based on the last question Carino Prime sent our way. What toy line would you like to see receiving help from third-party companies, maybe not in the same degree as Transformers? He kind of wants to see third-party action taken on Power Rangers to add some articulation to the bricks he loves so much. Says, thanks for answering his questions. Hopes we all had a great Christmas and good New Year, because this question comes from November. P.S. I'm sorry for calling you that guy that's not Lupus.
Finish the P.S.
He says, will you forgive me, Seth? So you did read it ahead of time. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Seth, you know, I'm glad you decided to join us over here on the even side, but
it's so nice. Ooh, I never
bought
get to
these
talk
watches and a silly box for him. I don't know what else to mock Seth with.
No, say that again. Say that again. I want to hear you doing that voice again.
I don't even know what I did.
I don't either. That's why I want to hear it again. I think I actually had a minor stroke and blacked out while you were talking. I got to... My brain was like, no, that can't possibly... He can't be doing that. I'm just going to turn you off, Christopher.
Oh.
Well, what non-Transformers thing would you like to see get some unofficial independent love?
I do want to say Power Rangers. Isn't that like the difference between the Japanese and U.S. versions?
Oh, no. There's another difference between the... There are a couple differences.
I'm saying, as memory serves, generally the Japanese versions are a little bit better off than the U.S. versions
are.
They're
nicer built better, sometimes.
They're better quality. They're more solid. They're the same bricks, though.
In fact, they're sometimes less posable than the American ones, because the American ones, with the Zord Builder system they use, means even though they're not very posable, every point where parts connect is a swivel joint.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's kind of true.
And that results in sometimes better posability than the Super Sentai ones. Sorry, the Super Sentai Mecha. Don't want to offend enthusiasts. Well, Aaron, let's set Power Rangers aside. Aaron, is there any other toy line you'd like to see get a little bit of out-of-company assistance from?
Mask?
Yeah, considering that the IP holder's doing nothing with it, that would be...
Well, I actually saw somebody's great breakdown of how to, like, roll Mask in to help out G.I. Joe.
Oh,
Seth
laid one out last week. I've seen that...
Yeah, I've seen it busted out two or three times of like, look, Transformers seems to be a thing right now. You can take this toy line that's pretty much dead and do something with it and roll in Transformers and go.
And complete the tragedy of the 50th anniversary of G.I. Joe by saying to close the year out, we're going to debut G.I. Joe Mask featuring the Transformers.
Maybe make it for the 51st, but just...
No, I mean, I'm all for it, but also...
That's something to do.
Can you imagine, like, that the one piece of silver lining for the Joe fans is two other IPs getting involved?
Yeah. It's something, though, that's like, you gotta do something.
Yeah, you do.
Just get it kicked over, and we'll go.
All right. Well, Omegas, aside from Power Rangers or Mask, what would you like to see get some third-party assistance?
That's tricky. I'm trying to think of these, and we're in this weird period where a lot of that classic stuff's getting modern upgrades, and there's some that are getting so much support that it's actually becoming stagnant at this point. Which, you know, I look at Masters of the Universe classics.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there's a whole... In terms of non-Mattel for that, there is a whole industry of accessories and alternate heads that I keep hearing about.
I do get some. Still, most of the stuff you see pretty much has some modern upgrades that really don't require third party. I mean, Power Rangers probably is the one that sticks in my brain the most.
Yeah, like transforming and posable Megazords. Would be cool to see.
Well, you see it with Repro labels actually getting into just upgrading the stickers in some case.
Yeah, yeah. I've been tempted by one of those sets due to a thing I got recently. But, well, my own, I'm gonna borrow one from Gog Dog, because my own, aside from, like, my immediate one is always Power Rangers. And other than that, like... It's more so IPs that are dead than anything that's currently on the market. But Gog was talking about this earlier on Twitter, and I very much agree. Ever since this is just one example from the bigger scope of it, but this will be my singular example. Ever since I read the Bebop and Rocksteady miniseries IDW put out a couple months ago, I have wanted posable toys of those designs of Bebop and Rocksteady, which expands out into, it would be really cool to see more older collector-oriented Ninja Turtle toys that are not just the Turtles coming out. Like, posable villains.
Mm-hmm.
Comic book characters. Like, the IDW Ninja Turtles comic. I would love toys of the whole cast of that book. Because it's, like, a really good book, too. So I'll throw in with that little camp. Let's see some 3PTMNT. There, I said it. That was horrible. Ah, ah, bleh, ah.
Who'd you just spit on?
Oh, no, I shouldn't say it because they'll know I did it.
No.
But that's what you get for making Blur into a cube. So that answers the listener question. We're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back re-energized and ready to talk about what we got this week on episode 296 of WTF at TFW!
Well, this is embarrassing. Not just the fact that I'm weeks behind editing these podcasts, but the fact that I had an intermission picked out and I can't get listentoyoutube.com to work. And I want this thing done. So I'll just explain it to you. It was a mouthwash commercial because we just did that whole bit about spitting, right? So I wanted to get a classic mouthwash commercial. And originally it was one that was a little bit racist. It was the Green Phantom era of I forgot what the mouthwash company is now. But I found another Green Phantom one that was maybe just a touch more PC. And it would have been probably a little bit confusing to hear because a lot of it was visual, but I don't care. Anyway, that's all I got for you. The intermission's just about over. My time's just about done, and I'm going to let this podcast keep running. Look forward to hopefully a wall of these, and because I said that, look forward to the next episode of WTFW sometime in the summer. We'll just keep racking them up, and then for those of you with 1.5-hour commutes, like I'm sure many of you do have, this will pretty much be there to save you when you're working your summer job. I'm here to help.
I waited till we were recording because I had a question to ask you guys, and I guess the listeners as well. It's kind of a series of tiered questions. Number one, have you ever gone to you know, use the toilet, then had to blow your nose, so you just used some toilet paper to blow your nose?
Yes.
Yeah.
You ever subsequently, you know, just like, well, you know what, it's toilet paper, so you just throw it in the toilet in front of you?
Yeah, why yeah. not?
All right, well, have you ever then, this is the big one, attempted to enhance the accuracy of your own standing pee ability by trying to pee entirely on the floating non-Kleenex that is now floating in the water in front of you?
I probably have, but do not recall a specific instance.
Not only have I done that, I've encircled it.
I just did that. And you know what? Because it already had snot in it, that piece of toilet paper disintegrated. Quite okay. Violently, and it was pretty cool to watch. Anyway, I'm just throwing it out there, telling anyone, I guess mostly dude listeners, admittedly, because you have to be standing for this to really work, but let us know if you've ever tried to pinpoint pee practice.
If you did, were you pretending it was Wyatt or Eisenberg?
Or Orsi or Kurtzman. Or any number of YouTube toy reviewers.
Suddenly feel very awkward. And Aaron, I'm normally pretty good about firing off the awkward, so thank you.
Aaron just always pretends to pee on me. That's just the way it goes.
No one ever pees
it's
on me.
It's the only way I can feel.
Yeah, well, that's how Aaron's still with this podcast. Everyone else left, but Aaron, he's here till episode 1000. He just gets it all out. It's like, all right, well, whatever. I'm going to use the washroom. Friggin' Canadian, I'm going to get you! Comes back after an intermission just so calm and lucid.
Are your poutine having Timmy's maple donuts having?
I gotta go pee.
Be right back.
I got custom toilet paper for this. Anyway, what a weird. That's ugly. That's some ugly, ugly stuff. But you know what is natural? We all pee. So, welcome to the real zone in this podcast where we're gonna talk about toys we bought. In what we got this week, Transformers focus first, as always. Omegas Prime, did you get any Transformers this last week?
In the last, we call it what we got last week, but, you know, 2 weeks ago counts.
No, it's a week. Maintain the kayfabe.
Yeah, and tell me kayfabe.
Heel, heel, heel. Face, face, heel, heel, face.
I did a little bit of transforming. I have one to speak of.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I finally got my Whirl, which is the proper Whirl this time, unlike the last Whirl, which was from 2004.
Hooray!
I've said it before. I love this. I love this like attitude that Hasbro's taken. Is like, well, we can't use original molds for reissues. We're gonna remake it,
and better,
and better. I've never been a big fan of the. There's a scientific name for it that I can never remember.
Heliped.
Yeah, heliped. Yeah.
Scientific.
Very scientific. No, the backwards knees I never liked.
Oh, chicken legs.
Digit grade.
Thank you. Thank you for the one who actually knows what he's talking about.
Digit grade.
Yeah. Okay. Because the backwards the knee is actually still the right way. What you see is the knee is actually the ankle. They're walking on their digits. Science.
What I'm doing right now is glaring at my microphone and just shaking my head really slowly.
Okay, but aside from digigrade legs,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm fine with if you could reverse them. You can't in this case. Meh. Other than that, quite happy with the toy. Hey, it's what I want out of a world. It is fiercely G1, stickers included.
Did you stick them on?
Yes, I stuck those on.
How are they?
They're not bad. Misplaced Excellent. One, but besides that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I can't review it now because it's inaccurate.
Yep. I'll leave an angry comment if you do.
I will delete it and pretend you don't exist.
Also, point out all the different ways you pronounce things wrong.
But no, it's a really solid toy. Really happy with how it came out, and just the idea that a character like we can get into G1 now that has no attachment to the cartoon.
Did you find his black knee joint pieces to be scary at all?
Not really.
Yeah, I don't think they're scary either, but it seems like every other reply or post or something I see about Whirl, someone being scared of them, and I'm like, just don't bend them sideways or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Move things around with your mouth.
You don't have to use a wrench to bend them.
Yeah, just careful applications of force.
No, he's a perfectly nice toy.
Yeah.
And you know, the nice thing about him, because of that unique origin of his from the original mold, he is very different. You know, very distinct when, you know, you kind of get, I don't know, maybe it's the fact that I've got like 1,000 of them around me right now, but, you know, Cyclops, claw hands, even the backwards legs, like, that stands out.
Yeah, that's unmistakably Whirl.
Yeah. I have to type a comment now about how you mispronounce that, just to amuse yourself.
So I got comments about how I pronounce Momotaros, and they all tried to phonetically correct how to say Momotaros, and every single one I read out loud sounded like Momotaros. And I was like, I don't even know what you're correcting! And I just gave up. But I tried. Momotaros. Momotaros.
Momotaros?
But no. No.
Just no. Oh,
yeah. I'm glad Whirl turned out well. Did you do the thing with the chest emblem of putting it under or under the cockpit, or did you put it on top of the cockpit?
On top.
Yeah, I'm still not sure what I'm going to do with mine.
Honestly, it didn't occur to me to put it under.
I want one.
That's clever.
Sorry, what was that, Aaron? You want a chest sticker? You want? I can give you a chest sticker.
I'd take a chest sticker too. That'd be cool. All
right.
I don't know how we're gonna get his chest open to get it in.
I know how. Don't worry.
All right. I've
got hella knives. Well, I'm glad that you're enjoying Whirl. I haven't heard really a lot of unhappy buyers.
No. The modular weapons are cool too.
Did you get them locally or off the internet?
Interneted him. As local is turning up to be very unreliable lately.
I don't even know a lot of people who spotted him locally.
And they're out there, theoretically.
Yeah, theoretically. Yeah, the weapons are neat. For whatever reason, the weapons don't really do much for me. It's the base toy I really like. I don't know why the weapons are leaving me lukewarm.
They're a nice addition.
Yeah. They're G1 accurate. I looked it up.
Yeah, again, I'm in vehicle mode and just start plugging weapons on. It reminds me of like the old arcade shooters where you get the power up and just stick some random piece of mech onto the side of the helicopter.
Yeah. Ah, good times.
Yeah, but Transformer-wise, that's pretty much all I did.
Alrighty. Well, Aaron, did you Transformers at all?
I picked up the Generations Armada Starscream.
Ah, good choice.
Took me a bit, because I did the first round, tried to do it intuitive, and the leg flip thing kept kicking my butt.
It's so weird, isn't it? Because it's really simple, but it's not, somehow isn't right. Obvious.
Right.
Like, you think you got to do more.
I kept doing it upside down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then eventually I'm like, okay, I'm going to look at the instructions. And I was trying to do it after getting the wings and arms in place, which is not the way to do it. Yeah. And then it was like, oh, I got to do it that way. Oh, okay. That, and it pulls it off really well. I kind of wish that the missile launch gimmick and the flip-down backpack, that it didn't have, like, the two-stage launch on it. Because you have the yellow shroud thing that will poke out before the gumball missile fires. And it just feels weird with the two-step. Mm. But it makes it look really neat, like it's recessed, and then something big is happening before you shoot. So maybe
that's what they were going for. For me, I'm actually way more into, like, I'm really into the part where the yellow stuff appears.
Yeah,
and I just kind of stop because I find that more interesting than shooting a missile. Yeah,
well, that was the first time I was messing with it. The pop missile was very solidly in there, so I was like, "Oh, it just kind of makes it look like cuckoo." Okay, it kind of sticks out a little bit, and then I was messing with it again, and then it launched across the room and may have hit a dog in the head. And
why?
Yeah, I was like, "Dad, what? I was just sitting here napping." Jeez, but. I was like, oh, that's actually a missile launcher. Okay. That's just kind of weird. All right. But no, I like them. There's a part of me that for nostalgia's sake wishes that the wing actually became the sword and not the thing under the wing, but
have you tried the fakey way to do that?
No, I haven't. I've had this thing open for maybe 4 hours.
Okay, well, check out the way that the wings are ball-jointed. There's a way to just make it look like he took his wing off.
Oh, just, like, fold it back or pop it off?
Fold it. Well, you can pop it off, too. I just fold it back and down.
Yeah,
you can
fold it back, yeah.
And you just give him a sword.
I kind of messed with that some, but...
Yeah.
I didn't know if there was, like, a way that you can... Since the sword plugs in there, I didn't know if there was a way that, like, you could pop the ball joint off, maybe, and then use the... sword handle. I'm gonna sit here and try this right now as I think of this. Can you plug that back in? Like, no, because you need the.
And then the somehow we actually hear a fiery explosion.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah, because in the handle of the sword is the part that plugs onto the wing. Because if they had it go the other way, or I wanted to drop some super glue in there, you could make it so that the. Yeah. So that the, like, sword was actually the wing. Mm. But you can't. So, you want good going, Hasbro.
Blow.
Maybe make it like a... Blow. As blow. Yeah, I know. I hate that term so much it didn't even come to mind until after I said, thanks, Hasbro.
Your brain actually turned off. You couldn't hear
me. No. Don't remember how you did the bad impersonation. You're not going to remember this now. But I don't know. I definitely do enjoy it. It's nice to have a Starscream that's not the same, so it seems, as every other Starscream. And again, why with the landing gear?
Well, so you can sit on your desk and be level.
And be level, barely. Landing gear is another odd thing that I'll sit there and look at and be like, okay, it's neat that it's there, but that nose gear I about have to rip off a fingernail to get out.
Well, you got the one kid who's a super airplane enthusiast who also loves Transformers, and he's so stoked about this.
Yeah, well, you can still make, like, permanently down landing gear for as much as the one on the legs come down. Oh, I don't know. It's aesthetic choices at that point for me, I think, but... No, he's cool. I dig him. I think... Oh, so what were the other two in this wave that were new mold? Would be the three-pack and...
Scoop.
I'd have to say my third purchase is probably the best of the wave.
I would agree with that. I think that he's the best toy of the three.
Yeah.
I think... So here's the weird thing. I think he's the best toy of the three. I like the Minicons the most for what they're trying to do. And for some reason, I like Scoop a bit more, even though he's a worse toy.
Yeah. Again, it's not a case of... Like, one of them is a horrible toy. One of them is an okay toy. It's not like it's an A, a C, and an F. I think this is like an A, a B, and a B minus.
I think it's because Starscream is so well done that, like, I know I'm going to enjoy him in the long run, so maybe I'm finding more interesting, weird things about the other two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm glad you got him, though. He's he's definitely top tier. I actually bought the Japanese one recently. It's not here, but there's one with my name on it.
Mr. Fancy Pants, then.
I needed... It's proper Armada colors.
Yeah.
If they do Armada Thundercracker colors, I need that one, too. Well, aside from Starscream, did you do any other Transformers azing?
No, I did not.
Well, I got a $5 deluxe this week. So I didn't have the mold, and I like the colors on this one. I got Beast Hunter Prowl's Wave Mate Night Shadow Beast Hunter's Bumblebee. So it's okay. The Beast Hunter Crazy Bumblebee, but in, like, black. So they did fix up that mold a whole lot. It's the Prid Bumblebee that always had the ganked up gear system in his neck.
Mm-hmm.
It actually works now, and there's like a proper ball jointed head inside the platform that flips around.
Okay.
Colors are great. The bow, like the eagle bow, I didn't know you could actually fold it up kind of into a little rectangle to keep on top of the car mode. That's neat. He comes with hella missiles. Problem with them, he also comes with his two guns. None of the accessories peg onto him very well. There's something wrong with all the pegs on mine. They're all just a little too small for his forearms. And I got a feeling that either I got unlucky or there's just minor mold degradation on some of those bits. But hey, you know what? For $5, it's not bad. I wanted that mold, but I didn't want it in yellow. And so I get my black Bumblebee. And the car mode looks great. It's got just all these blades on it. Like, the way that the shoulder, like, the new parts on the shoulders fold to go through the front grille of the vehicle mode is kind of clever for what is essentially a simple toy. So, $5 Beast Hunter Deluxe is, I got the one I wanted, so I'm happy. I also opened up one of my Cyberverse toys. We got the last wave of Cyberverse Commanders. So I picked one to open, and the one I picked to open was Bludgeon. So, he's the Cyberverse Bludgeon based on Cyberverse Shockwave.
Oh, yeah.
And he comes with the Star Saber in red. Interesting thing. There is literally nowhere to plug the Star Saber in his tank mode except for in his robot mode hand, so there's a sword sticking diagonally outside, like, out the side of the tank. At about ground level. This looks kind of silly. Tank mode, in general, looks really silly, and I forgot how janky-ass that toy is to transform into tank mode. Because I forgot about the whole thing with that toy where he's got these ridges on his thighs that look like they're supposed to clip in for the tank mode, but they don't. They're just there to kind of balance the legs in place, and they don't do a good job of it. The tank mode's goofy, but it has all the flaws of the Shockwave tank mode. And then there's also a sword sticking out the side, so I don't know. The robot mode's pretty cool, though. Like, all the new parts are great. Like, the chest plate, the new head, all looks really cool. Just kind of awkward. It also is really weird to see Bludgeon presented as a full-on swordsman when one of his arms is a giant cannon with no elbow. It's a weird...
That's how much better he is. He can't do a side-hand shift or anything.
That's right. He has this huge stick for an arm that shoots stuff. He's the most imaginative of the new trio for, like, by far. He's got some decent new parts. He's just fun. If you like Bludgeon, you know, go for it. But if you're hoping to be blown away by a really good bludgeon toy, he's just the Shockwave toy, and there's like there's very the identity's changed. It's pretty decently changed with just a few new parts, but you got to be able to look past the cannon arm. I don't know. It's interesting. I kind of like it, but it's not as cool as it felt when I first saw it at BotCon last year. So he kind of lost some of the shine, I think. I haven't opened up the other two yet because they're just kind of sitting there, and I haven't felt inspired to pop open like Unicron Megatron. I kind of have an idea of what he'll be like. But just today, thanks to Hoopla on Twitter, I got a hold of two new Legends toys. So I got Generations, Legends, Cosmos, and Swerve.
Kill him with the line.
Yep. Well, let me tell you, I don't know if this is the unpopular or the popular opinion. Once you play with the Cosmos toy, he kind of kills a whole lot of the fun of the Swerve toy. Because Swerve is okay. Like, there's nothing wrong with Swerve. Swerve is a perfectly good little Legends toy. He's got a great little robot mode. I love how his head can nod up and down, even if it can't look side to side. There's lots of personality. I really like the transformation because, like, it looks really simple. It is really simple. But it does a very clever thing to both shrink the truck into his body and then, like, inflate his torso ever so slightly to have a beefier truck mode. It's a fun, simple transformation. It's you do just enough to feel like you're accomplishing something, and it all comes together really well. I like the idea of, like, this looks like, hey, if comic book Swerve had a truck mode, yeah, this looks like what it would look like. He's a perfectly fine little toy. And then you open up Cosmos, and so I can see how Cosmos would not work for someone if your tabs don't tab together really well. I got real lucky, because on mine, the tabs all tabbed together perfectly with a little bit of work. Like, at first it was popping apart, but now he's spot on. His transformation is way more interesting. And his robot mode is a little bit bigger and a little bit better proportioned than Swerve's, if you ignore the hands. It's weird. His arms are completely fine until you look at them too much and realize what is hand and what is arm. So I just ignore that, because they're kind of like green blobs anyway. And Cosmos is so poseable for a Legends, you know, not Legends, but, you know, Generations Legends toy, which is ostensibly like a scout toy. Thanks to his transformation, he has this awesome, like, waist joint. He's got, like, all the major joints. I can have him do a rider kick. And he comes with a space shuttle that turns into a cool-looking little robot that also turns into a gun pretty decently. Swerve's partner is also really cool. Swerve's partner, I think, actually looks a bit better as a gun. But, man, these two toys are pretty good. But, man, this Cosmos toy is top friggin' tier. And if you get one and he doesn't tab together that well in spaceship mode, perfect time to learn how to do the floor polish treatment, because if you can get a nice tight Cosmos, this is a good toy. Like, Swerve is okay, but Cosmos is the one I keep going back to in this opening, you know, evening of having just popped them out of the package. Like, he's just so good. He's so well done, so well proportioned, so everything. I love this Cosmos. This is such a good Cosmos. They made me my Cosmos toy!
I'm not really clear. How do you feel about this toy again?
Eh, it's okay. A little too green. But, I'm quite impressed with both. They're showing up in Canada. They certainly are not, like, super cheap, because we have taxes here. So for the pair of them, came out to about $29. That's a pretty penny for Generations, although I know a whole lot of people who paid more than $29.
Yeah, you got ripped off.
Yeah, I got really, man, $29 for both.
I feel so bad for you.
And I had to go meet up with Hoopla at the subway station on my way back from work.
Have to interact with people?
Yeah. 29. We talked about all you guys. Because we... Like,
you would.
There is a club. Like, Omegas isn't the only one. There are... I am legit kind of surprised. The number of people I know who bought Cosmos and Swerve on that that 48 hours of panic. There's a lot of you guys.
I had it on good authority that rumor was true.
You guys could even... There are enough of you to form a club. You guys should actually form a club.
A support group, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? If I paid $30 for Cosmos, the way that my brain works, I'd forget about the $30 pretty fast because Cosmos is so frigging nice. Swerve, I'd have some regrets. He's just simple enough to be like, oh man, I spent that much on this. But Cosmos, I'm going to say, if you paid $30 for Cosmos, you still did okay. Because damn, Cosmos is well done. So these things should be, you know, over the next couple months, easier and easier to find. Eventually, I bet you, Cosmos and Swerve are going to become shelf warmers. But yeah, I really like Cosmos. It's just so everything. And that's my Transformers content for this week. So why don't we go on to the off-topic world of toys that are not Transformers? I'm going to open up a little bit, because I damn it, I want to. So I've been doing too much Mandarake. And I've been getting these things called Real Deform figures. Have you guys heard of them? If not, yeah. I can send you some pictures. They're Kamen Rider toys that are pretty decently poseable. And they're not super deformed, but they're very slightly super deformed. Like, imagine...
They're deformed, not super deformed?
Yeah, like, imagine an athletic 12-year-old wearing a costume. And that's kind of... Here, I'll send you a picture of three of them just for proportion's sake. So, I've had the O's for a while, and then recently I got Gaim and Forze and kind of popped O's out again and really started to mess with them. They are fun toys, but, man, they're scary, because there's no way to buy them via retail. They are only available through claw machines and ticket prize booths, as far as I understand. So, when your Gaim toy has a tight wrist joint where the peg cleanly breaks off, like not even any stress plastic, just a clean, non-discolored break, it kind of gives you pause. I fixed it, but it gives you pause. So I went through... And because of the way their joints are built, any joint that was so much as slightly clicky tight, because they're all smooth pin disc joints, I spent about 3 hours with my shock oil going over these three Real Deform figures, trying to tweak their joints to perfect smooth tension. And in doing so, I also got I saw some cheap Wizards and New Deno strike forms on Mandarake, and I bought an extra of each entirely to cannibalize the skeletons of their joints. In case I break any more of these. And I also ordered some hobby-based pin disc joints off HLJ to see if those are just literally the joints Ban Presto is using and if they'll fit in there too. So within the next couple months, I will have far too much knowledge about the build and the repairs needed on Real Deform Kamen Rider toys. And then I'll wonder what on earth I'm doing with my life. But that's one of my little stories from this past week. What else was I doing? Just taking a look at my list of things here. The other Kamen Rider thing I wanted to talk about is I got these little things called 66 Action Kamen Rider toys. So you guys saw those Real Deform ones, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, this is a completely different line that looks a whole lot like those. These are candy toys. They come with rather tasty Ramune crunchy chewy candy. It's kind of shaped like a clover, which is weird. These things pretty much will cost you like $5 or $6 a pop if you buy them from someone at like a convention. They come in a box of 10. They're pretty inexpensive. And their whole thing is they are 66 millimeters tall and decently poseable. They do not have bicep swivels or thigh swivels, but there is just enough range on the ball joint of the shoulder to have a little bit of a bicep swivel. But okay. That range is also limited in that you can't really swing their arms all the way out to their sides either. It's literally like the shoulder is a cup that sits on a ball. So there's kind of a limited range everywhere before it just pops out the joint. But okay. They're so small and nicely sculpted that I'm okay with the limited range on some of the articulation. They have a really deep knee and elbow cut. Like, it's cut so that it's basically like as deep as a double-jointed knee or elbow. And even though I'm telling you, like, the mathematics, right, of how tiny these are, it's different when you actually see them in person and you hold one and you just feel like how frigging tiny these are. And for ostensibly what's like a $5 toy, they also come with alternate hands, some kind of accessory, and then they each come with a little display base, like a little black brick with cutouts for their heels to sit in, and the stand has holes to peg the other two spare hands in, so it's like a full little figure display. And a tiny little, like, 6.6 centimeter tall posable figure, all for, like, $5 or $6. It's a really, really nice little deal. decent ball jointed ab crunchy waist joint thing. The eyes on these, the head sculpts are all really well done. They all have proper like fig art style compound eyes. It's a really nice little line, and they are not hard to find right now. The sealed boxes of them are all sold out everywhere. But singles are everywhere. I think CS Toys has singles of all of them, like piles of them. I've got a couple singles of these too that I'm starting to hawk. And I really like them. And they're doing a second series. I'm all in. 66 Rider. I'm all in on the series. They might only do two, but hey, it's such a cool little thing. And a lineup of four of them takes up so little space on the desk. It's great. I'm very impressed with these. I was trying to think if there's anything else I picked up lately. Oh yeah, the one other thing in that HLJ box. So there's this series called Akiba Ranger. And there's a second season of it. Now they did a roleplay toy for the first season, which was like a quote unquote prop replica. They did one of those for the second season. The first season had this this anime girl who's kind of like a cyborg, and she turns, and so you fold her up and she turns into a you know 1-to-1 scale pistol. Second season has another weird cybernetic-looking anime girl statue that turns into a little sword. Kind of like a dagger. This thing costs... it was retailing for over $150. And then HLJ put them on sale for, like, crash bargain basement prices of, like, I think about $45. And I couldn't resist that, so I bought that too. And I haven't put batteries in it yet, but the one thing is when you hold it in sword mode... It is designed so that your index finger is resting comfortably over the breasts. And it's pretty much...
As well it should.
It's pretty much impossible to actually not have your index finger gently caressing the underside or the top side of the Zuban's breasts.
Well, do you just, like, put your finger back and forth to find the right spot?
Well, you gotta, right? Because it's a sword. You gotta find the right weight and spot, you know?
Find the right balance point.
Yeah, if I don't do that, how am I gonna win the fight? It's logic. I have to get some LR-44s for this toy, but the other thing is, to put the LR-44s in, there's actually a couple of spring-loaded sliding panels that reveal screw holes. It's a way they hide the screw holes that you then unscrew to put the LR-44s in, and this thing makes a whole bunch of noise. You can plug it into the front of the previous series gun to make it like a bayonet gun and get another sound out of it. It was just on enough of a discount. I like me some Akiba Ranger, so... That was in my box too.
What are that battery related to? Is that like just a slightly fatter AA?
No, LR44s are watch batteries.
Or those the button battery. Oh, yeah, the button batteries. Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking because I know I got some roleplay toy back in the day that had a slightly odd, like you could fit a AA into it, but it needed to be slightly wider or something. I don't quite remember.
Yeah. On this podcast, did I talk about the Ninjago Lego kit I bought?
I don't believe so.
Ninjago.
Okay, I don't actually buy Ninjago, but...
Because now you're falling from your movie or...
No, this was a mech.
Galaxy Force only?
No, mechs and transforming kits also. That's why I bought that Chima kit.
Okay.
Transforming bike.
Whatever you gotta tell yourself to sleep at night, man.
What was it called? The Thunder Raider, I think? Yeah, the Thunder Raider. So this is a Ninjago kit. Here, I'll send you guys a picture so you can see what it looks like. But
you might have talked about this.
I can't remember if I talked about it on here or when I was playing Titanfall.
I vaguely remember something about this.
I'll be quick. It's a really cool little set. It's a blue tank with a black thruster block on the back of the tank. And then you can disengage the thruster block and transform it into a mech suit while the tank transforms into, like, a battle tank type thing. And it was really cool. Because it's got two huge rubber tires for the back wheels, and in the front are these two treads made out of individual tread bits, and it rolls really well. And when you gat-tie the mech suit to the tank and arrange things properly, it looks like a really cool tank with huge blades on the sides. So I was quite impressed with it.
I like the blue minifigure using the old ice planet chainsaw as like the base of some weird weapon thing.
Yeah, that's some kind of plot point thing I don't quite understand. I like the Nindroid because he's carrying two double lightsabers, but not like stick ones. It's just literally two side by side lightsabers glued together. Looks really funny. Anyway, it's a really fun little kit. I read some reviews of other new Ninjago stuff. It looks like this is actually one of the most popular things out of the current line, so I got the best one. I got good taste, apparently. That was my Lego building for this past little while. I haven't built very much. Been busy. Oh, this one. So, yeah, there's two other things. One of these is for Aaron. One of these is for Omegas. So, for Omegas, I was at Toys R Us, and I had this thing where if I spend $50, I get $10 off because I went and saw the Lego movie, and this coupon was almost up. And so, I was like, hey, I should use this to buy something and something. And I found a something small, that being something I haven't built yet. And that's because not only did I have this thing that would give me $10 off, but all the Power Ranger toys were, I think, 30% off. The Legacy Morpher, like the normal one, was thus 30% off. Mm-hmm. There was also a giant stack of the Tommy Morpher, the gold one, for 30% off. So essentially, if I say I bought the little Lego set of Gandalf versus Saruman for full price, I got a Legacy Golden Morpher for about $28.
Huh.
Would have been $38 if I bought it by itself. And holy crap, is it way more worth it? Like, it feels great as a $28 purchase, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
And then I imagine it's $60, and I'm like, this is so stupid. So it's really cool. I it's got the proper electronics, all that stuff. The belt buckle feature is really cool. But here's a ludicrous thing. Maybe I just missed this. Its speaker, when you put a coin in, the coin muffles the speaker. So if you don't have a coin in, the speaker's loud and clear. You put a coin in, the speaker's all tinny and muffled. Like, of all the things that have been said about the Legacy Morpher, it's like the cherry on top is if you actually use it correctly, you're screwing with the ability to hear the electronics. And it's like, how did this... It's like someone started working on it and then just stopped. And then they were like, we could sell this. And they can. But holy crap. Like, I had no idea that the speaker was right in the middle. And I tested, I turned on the big Power Ranger theme thing. I took a coin on and off, and it totally changed the audio quality.
I never even tried it without the coin.
It's so much clearer without a coin in. It's so dumb that it's so much clearer without a coin in. Also, why is there a unique noise for pushing the button during the Power Ranger theme?
That's a leftover from the first version.
Why does it even do that? Like, what is this? What's this supposed to represent? I cut off the theme music, so there's a whoosh. Yeah. It's like my morpher got mad and farted at me or something. I don't know. It's cool. Like, I see the appeal for sure, but I also see like the copious flaws in this thing as a $60 product. Especially this golden one, where you only get two coins.
Right.
Holy crap. I can't believe that they're charging the same for this.
I know.
It's amazing. It's
like you take out three coins, you give it a gold paint job. Oh, no. That works out the same cost, trust me.
Yeah, like, oh, man. It's great, though, if you can get one of these for, like, $30 or less. Super worth it. $50 to $70? No, don't do that. Don't do that. I mean, if you got it, you got to. But if you can, in any way, shape, or form, predict you might see one on sale, don't do that. Because every extra $10 you spend will just further highlight one of the many flaws with this thing. Like how it only makes four noises. Oh, man. But it's, you know, for that price, it was actually pretty fun. I like it. It's sitting on my shelf. So I was just lucky because I went back 2 days later to get another one. So I was like, you know what? I can't find Swerve and Cosmos. I can't find Cloud Cuckoo Palace. I'm going to use my last coupon just to buy another Legacy Morpher. Why not? And they were all full price again. And I was like, nope. And I walked away. Anyway, the last thing I got, this is an Aaron story, and this is something I got a while ago. So Aaron, I got swept up in blind bag minifigure stuff. Mm-hmm. And my local Walmart had the one line of World of Warcraft blind bag minifigures that Mega Bloks did.
Okay.
And I had a code list, and because they switched up their codes a whole lot, so there's like multiple different lists of codes for those.
Okay.
Depending on what the style of numerical denomination is. So I sat there for like 20 minutes, and I found one of the super rare, and I found three of both of the rares. So I walked out with seven minifigures. I came home and opened them up to see if I was right, and I totally was. So I have, like, the one rare figure. I have the two, or the one super rare figure. The two rare figures. And I have two dupes of each of the two rares. So I have four dupes, all rares. Okay. And I sat there, and I was like, you know, technically I won, but I still feel like I lost. Why did I just do this?
Are they at least worth something on eBay?
I haven't had the heart to go and check. So the ultra rare is kind of cool because he's like a World of Warcraft man with like a crazy like demonic looking helmet and he's all ice blue.
Okay.
That's cool. And then one of the two rare figures is one of those guys with the goat legs and the wolf head. And he's made out of like smoky clear black plastic with like clear red weapons and like red stuff on his armor. So he looks kind of cool. And the other kind of rare guy is like an elf man with blue hair and white clothes and brown armor. And he doesn't look very cool. And they're just, why did I do this?
Welcome to the sickness.
It's super dumb. So yeah, if anyone out, like, I don't know. No one needs these anyway. These things are on clearance everywhere. Like, World of Warcraft Mega Bloks did not work. It is an experiment that was worth doing. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to talk about this anymore. I'm done. I'm good. I'm done. Oh, you know what? There's one other thing I got, I should say. I got another Mandarake thing. So I tried to order from Kamen Rider Gaim, Kurokage, the Pinecone Rider, with okay. his tulip hopper vehicle. I put in the order on HLJ, and that's the arms change figure that got landlocked for me. And it's just sitting there in order stop.
Oh.
Possibly never to be fulfilled. So I got one off Mandarake. And to fill out the shipping on that, I also got the SH Figure Arts toy I've been trying to find for ages. And I got it for 6,000 yen, which isn't bad. But I got the King Form of Kamen Rider Blade from SH Figure Arts. And King Form Blade was like my holy grail Sochok Henshin toy back in 2007. And I paid $50 for one from a Mandarake storefront. And now I got the SH Figure Arts version. And it feels super good. It's currently my favorite figure arts toy, in part because of who it is, but also, it looks really nice. It's a well-done toy. I think I linked you guys to a picture of the Medicom one, truth be told. But it's that design. And, it's well done. Yeah,
that's the Medicom.
I don't know, I search for Blade King Form, and I get all these pictures of the Medicom. It's... Well, that's silly.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. If it has stitches, it's probably not the figure art.
Oh, here we go. From cooksucks.com, I found a picture of the figure arts one. So the figure arts one's pretty cool. He's got this thing where you use stickers to represent cards unfurling on the thing on his wrist. And he comes with like a full deck of teeny, teeny, tiny cards that you can slot into his sword. And he's well done. He balances nicely. I really like, actually, that he has no diecast. Because he balances great. And the Sochok Henshin one was a really cool toy, really pretty, but all the gold stuff was solid chunks of diecast that pegged into the figure. So every time you moved his leg, like, they'd all fall off with a really loud clatter. And it was pretty undignified. So, that felt good. Anyway, that's all my off-topic what we got this week's. Aaron, what about you?
Lego, believe it or not.
You're a liar.
Yeah. Brick World was actually shortly after we recorded our last Evening Theme podcast.
It was. You took lots of pictures.
Yeah. So we did that. Holy cow, that place was packed.
Was I talking to you on Skype? Because I heard some stories about this from the Brick Daddy.
I might have been in on that at some point. It was super uncomfortable, and nobody there had any sort of convention etiquette whatsoever. Because, I mean, a whole lot of people want to go see it because of the movie. Yeah, and was talking with the guy that's the owner and runs it and said that in, like, the first hour and a half, they had more people through than their previous show. It's a two-day show.
I was blowing my nose, but I'm amazed.
Yeah. And we got there relatively early, and it was hard to move through the crowd type of full. We got kind of to the back and looked at some of the exhibit stuff that was there. The super big M-tron that I believe that
M-tron theater had me sitting there just like, I want that, please.
With two, I think they're either small tablet or large phone screens playing brick films. It has like this giant conga line where the first M-tron guy has two maracas and the one behind him has a boombox. And then there's this M-tron conga line that runs through a portion. And I would dare say that there is a significant percentage of all M-tron figures ever made in this conga line. Just a whole bunch of neat stuff. We got, there's a Halo ship that's a guy finally got done that he's been working on for a couple years. I think it's Pillar of Autumn, but I don't quite remember.
I was enthralled by the macro manager that you used.
Yeah, so there was a Lego movie display where it was somebody's normal town display that then they spiced up with a Old West and they had an AC bit, but then, yeah, they had a macro manager in the middle of it. A lot of neat stuff there.
What were the arms of the macro manager made out of? Because those look really cool.
I think those were
like huge tentacle things.
I think they were 2x2 cylinders that were loosely connected.
That looked really cool.
I'm going to go back through my photos here as I talk. But it was a good time was had, bro time and all of that.
I saw all you jazz. Lego nerds building your modular on your floor, and there was no live stream. Where was the live stream?
The live stream was a pain in the butt. I think I made the joke at one point, we should be streaming this, and I had like three people look at me like, no. Yeah, the macro manager is a bunch of the 2x2 cylinders with there are a couple ways you could do that and still be all Lego. Short Technics rods, maybe. So we built Defuzz's Parisian restaurant. It was me and Alfie building the first floor, Defuzz building the second floor, and another friend building the top floor of it. I think Ken might have gotten in on some of that, but he was also working, doing a software deploy, I think.
I was wondering
through my horrible network.
I was wondering why in all the photos he had this laptop just like not just he wasn't just on a laptop, but he was he was enveloped by the laptop.
Yeah, he was doing work. As I think there were like two or three businesses that were doing a Friday evening rollout of software.
Thanks, two or three businesses.
But unfortunately, we didn't break open the Lego architecture set that Dan brought. We opened it up and saw a whole lot of the Lego bags full of white and clear pieces. And it's like, oh, this is so cool, but we never got time for it. But yeah, so what I got from there, I picked up some printed custom bricks where there's companies that do custom printing on stuff. Not a ton. Picked up some Bionicle stuff for Alfie.
I have a question. Or
Hero Factory, I guess. Yeah.
So that minifigure me and Random Factor were looking at, the digitally printed Titanfall pilot, that thing was like a $30 minifigure.
Uh-huh.
And it was a digital printing process. What does that mean? Are they running the figure through a printer? Are they printing off something that is applied over the figure?
They are printed. So they have some process that prints directly to the minifigure.
Okay.
Do you remember the name of the company that did it?
Is it Ultra Brick? Brick Ultra. The BrickUltra.com/mech-pilot site is
okay.
The page. The thing is apparently covered in some kind of expensive printing process. And that seems like the kind of thing you would have seen at Brick World as well.
Yeah. Yeah, there are two or three companies that do that. There's one that had like the Albuquerque pharmaceutical team or something like that that's Breaking Bad. That's something else.
I'm not trying to bring that in here, but now you're trying to bring... Oh no.
Where there are a couple of groups that do stuff like that. There's one that's Brick Arms, I think, that does a lot of... they make a lot of weapons, and then they have like World War II themed helmets, that sort of thing.
Hmm.
And then there's one guy that had vintage sets that we kept kind of looking at, where there was somebody that was in the middle of this. So all of these people there for the Lego movie, you know, and there was one guy that was in this, and it's like vintage sets. If it's not more than 3 years old, he doesn't have it. It's like up on signs. He's like, "You got any Lego movie sets?" And the guy's like, "No." "Well, why not? You could sell that big here." He's like, "That's not what I do. And everybody else has that or had that, I guess. Anything like it was gone early." But, so then we got out of there. Well, we spent some time in there, I guess. I guess the other one was in the midst of one of those things. I heard a lady talk about how they only have the Lego stores up in Chicago to somebody else. I was like, "No, they have one in Indianapolis." No, they don't. Like, yes, they do. If they did, I would have gone to it. I was like, "Well, it's in the," I forget the name of the mall right now, but it's in the mall that's like a 5-minute drive away next to the one entrance. It's here in town. "Are you sure?" I'm like, "I don't know why we're having this argument. I'm trying to help you out, and it's okay."
I hallucinated the entire morning before I came here.
Yeah, it was actually the afternoon afterwards, but every other time I've been there, yeah.
Hey, you were just, it was a fever dream.
Yeah, it was, I don't understand. Why is there a fight on this?
"You're lying to me! You want to buy this Lego set I'm looking at."
Yeah. But there I ended up picking up a couple of Mixels to finish off the sets. Trying to remember what else I bought. I'm sitting here looking at everything that I've built recently. I have a melting room, but I didn't get that there. Oh, it was the double-headed hero, or not hero clicks. That's something else. Wow, it's like 1 o'clock. That's why my brain's melting. I gotta look it up now.
Factory.
Yeah. Hero Factory. It's because the new Invasion from Below theme has monsters, and then the old Hero Factory guys are now the minifigure sized.
Mm.
So what I picked up was the... Oh, come on. Where is it?
This is what happens when someone buys too much Lego.
Yeah.
Is they try to say Lego things, and then just the word Lego comes out.
Yeah. Lego, 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 Lego. The Splitter Beast, where it's two guys that they can plug together and make a two-headed monster.
Ooh.
Looking dude.
Is that like they transform together?
No, it's purely like plug one onto the back of the other.
I'm less interested now.
But it was still pretty neat. Because the two hero guys come with a long chain that is like to trip it up, but he permanently has a lamp post in his hand. But did that. Alfie picked up a couple of the hero ones, and since we did it all together, we got just past the $75 mark to get ourselves the Martian Manhunter.
Who sold out super fast.
That sold out super fast, yeah. There were a whole lot of people right after that trip were like, "Man, I was hoping to get that still." I was like, "Well, I'm kind of glad that we rounded up." And I think I grabbed a keychain to put us just over $75. But rolling on, was sitting there, was seriously eyeballing the Parisian restaurant because it was a fun build, and I'm all about the modulars, but next month is double points, and I'd rather get double points than hold out on that.
Yeah.
But I think what else I got. I finally got the radio DJ robot that a listener, whose name unfortunately now I've blanked on, tried to send it to me last time, and it bounced back to him, and then he sent it again, and so now I have it, and it's sealed. Hold on. Now it's unsealed.
How could you?
I did that live. Has the cool hair piece that is the molded hair with the headphones on it that came with the DJ. Was 2 series ago, minifigure? Mm. Where he came with a vinyl record and sleeve.
Yeah, I got a hookup on one of those, but I just realized it's been a long time since I heard about that, and I'm hoping it didn't get lost in the Canadian postal system.
There's some postal worker whose kid loves the Legos that now has himself a DJ robot.
He made the ultimate sacrifice, risking his job just for the DJ robot.
But, yeah. But so then the one thing that I did build and had a good time doing was the melting factory, which, or the melting room.
Oh, yeah, I put up a V-build of that the other...
Yeah. Has the hooded wild style. I think that's about 3/4 of the reason why I got it.
You didn't buy it for those A-shaped black things?
No, the one that comes in it.
All the reviews I read said this is a game changer.
Yeah, it is. For what it is, it's a significant piece.
I love how it's a game changer, because I don't know what it changes, but it's...
there. Well, it would allow for more solid builds, because normally to do an angle like that, you've got a hinge piece. Like the other two hinge pieces that are in the set that work all right, but with that, it allows to do builds that hold that angle, especially with a cross base brace to it. I'm not sure. I saw somebody trying to bust out just exactly how to layer those in order to cross build on it, but that's where it starts to get very deep into the how exactly I'm going to use this thing. But, it's a fun set. You get yet another Screaming Emmett. The laser table thing, it was a fun build that in the process of me building that and then walking away, the girlfriend's dog knocked it in half twice. But hey, it's Lego. It's magical.
Yeah, it's a cool little thing. Like I've set it up next to my I took a Detolf shelf and just put Lord Business's Evil Lair along the back wall.
Uh-huh.
And I just put the melting room in front of it, and it kind of looks proper. It looks like it's supposed to be there. Just as part of the general mishmash of the vertical slice that is the evil
lair. Like on the side that has the craggle and the battery and all that?
Yeah, I just put it down in front of that side. I was like, you know what? This belongs here.
Yeah, it works well enough.
I almost bought a gray plate to put all of my micromanager things on, but it was $20. And I was like, I don't feel like this is right.
You should.
I don't know. $20?
Yeah, it's a big piece of Lego. Yes, it's going to break the number of pieces per part count percentage.
What if I break it in half over my knee?
Well, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, well, who are you? It's a free country.
Okay, sure. Beyond that, I've not bought much. Alfie got her full-time job back. So,
woo! Okay.
No more ramen. I can upgrade to Campbell's soup cans.
Yay! All that sodium that they still have.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't it just come out recently that the current daily recommended sodium is actually way too high?
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Sure, whatever. I've been told that I need to ingest more than the normal amount of caffeine due to my unreasonably low natural blood pressure. So caffeine and salt are something that's always high on my list of, hey, that's nice.
So you're just like,
it keeps me from standing up and passing out.
Hey, you just have your 3 cups of soups every hour.
Yeah. Every half hour. Okay. I gotta maintain a level.
Like half dose of water to soups, it's just this big, thick, salty, chickeny.
Yeah.
And goo. Yeah. All right. Well, so you Legoed a bunch.
Yep.
All right, I have it on good authority that Omega's Prime's off topic this week may well be aimed at you, Aaron.
About time.
Yeah. Years of podcasting with Aaron, but no, it was Hollywood that broke me.
You'd almost think the Lego Movie was one of the greatest marketing tools for a toy line in a very long time.
Almost.
Or with the sheer number of people who are now buying Lego after having seen the Lego Movie. But you know what? It did all that while also being a good movie.
Yeah.
That's the best part of it all. It proves the theory that you don't have to be a, you know, vapid thing to be able to be a good commercial. Anyway, I'm not going to get on that tangent right now. You guys go ahead. I'm going to sit over here.
Yep. Well, a couple things that aren't in that area first, just to get them out of the way, you know, because, dear God, I lost my mind. We talked about Titanfall during the beta. I have the full version now.
Me too.
And I was actually surprisingly good at the beta, but that's when they level capped everyone at 14 and there were only two maps.
Yeah, now you're... So did you play after the first 48 hours?
After the first 48? What do you mean?
Like, have you played it recently?
I played it today.
How many G4 to G9 full teams have you been matchmade against?
Not full teams. I had one team that had two of them.
Okay, so if you form a party in Origin and then go matchmaking, holy crap, what utter BS you'd encounter. There was a bunch of us. None of us were even prestige once, right? So there's like a couple 20s, couple 30s, couple 40s. We were regularly getting matched up against walls of GX, all kinds of numbers. This is like day five. We were fighting an entire team of like G1, 2, and 3s. And we're just sitting there going like, this isn't matchmaking. This is not matchmaking.
Are they legitimately prestiged that many times, or is it some...
No, they've been playing that much.
Okay.
Because
I know that in some of those games, there was a way to hack yourself to maximum prestige levels.
Well, no, there's a way to prestige. There are ways to prestige really fast. There are tactics that are not very... They aren't conducive to really winning so much as leveling fast.
Right.
But no, I mean, someone's already hit G10. Max level prestige. They just set out to do it as soon as possible. They came up with a strategy, an equation, if you will. A lot of it involves smart pistols and gunning down hundreds of NPCs.
Oh.
Because you get lots of points for that, and that means you avoid players, so you just get more done faster. But yeah, some of the matchmaking, they've said that their matchmaking is a little busted and they're working on it. And go ask Noise Maze. Just tweet him. Anyone listening, tweet to Noise Maze at Noise Maze Titanfall matchmaking. See what happens. Real funny. Anyway, fun game. I like it.
Oh yeah. I'm still far better than I am at normal shooters, which I don't know why this game I'm decent at, and then every other one I suck.
Must just be the source material. Like, I bet you if there were robots in COD 2, in Modern Warfare 2, you probably would have had a similar experience.
Honestly, a lot of times I have more fun just playing as a pilot, you know, working the parkour mechanic.
That is a huge part of it, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been having fun with it. Oh, man, I had a... Well, I mean, this is a game full of moments, but I had a moment where we're playing Hardpoint, and I was holding on a Hardpoint to the second floor of a building, and just got assaulted. A lot of luck involved in this, but, man, I run in there, and they were keeping us out with those frigging satchel charges, right? Mm-hmm. And a guy with a silenced shotgun, which is the funniest thing in the world. And so I get him out of there. And I'm like, we're doing a Skype call at the same time, and I get a little bit carried away. I'm like, all right, this is my floor. Bring it! And then, like, one guy just bursts in through the window. I just, like, start running up and down the walls, gun him down. I gun him down. I'm like, bring it! Then, like, another guy up the stairs, take him down. I'm like, this is my floor! And then, like, another guy comes in the window, gun him down, held it down. And I was just, like, yelling so loud. It was really fun. Anyway. I was like, this is the second floor is my floor. Step foot in my kingdom at your peril. Anyway. Sounds like you've been having a good time with Titanfall.
Yeah. It's fun. Need to be better.
Yeah. Sweet, so you get that triple threat. That's where some of the action is. FYI, the triple threat is a really weird gun. But man, once you start using it, man... I won a match with Triple Threat. I blew up the evac ship with Triple Threat. That thing blew up and I just said, Triple Threat! Match over.
Oh, yeah. So, in more toy-centric things that I got. Since my willpower is weak and I had childhood wounds to heal, I now own the Legacy Dragon Dagger.
Did you get that online or in a store?
Online.
Okay, I was curious. They've shown up in some stores.
So I've heard. This is the kind of thing where I'm hesitant to even call this thing a toy.
It's the impression I got.
Yeah, like... Yeah, if the blade itself wasn't soft plastic for safety laws and everything, I would call it prop replica. It is just that big and heavy and solid and just that well made.
I gotta ask the loaded question right away. Electronically, is it any more robust than the Legacy Morpher?
Well, yeah, you've got more than four noises.
Okay, that's good. Thank goodness. Okay.
Yeah. But it works better as a roleplay toy. You know, you've got the three buttons that look like, you know, little trumpet buttons on the handles. Yeah, you get your different slashing and clashing noises that you get out of that. And then you... And that was the on button.
Hey!
But then you put... Then you hit that button that's in the mouthpiece. Because you're supposed to hold it to your lips like a flute.
Yeah, and you hit the chin button.
Yeah.
I remember that from New York Comic Con. That made me excited.
And, yeah, and then you get all the noises that weren't in any of the Dragon Daggers they made before this. It's not the exact one from the show, but it's a very passable recreation.
Like, you'd hear it and go, like, oh, I remember that.
Right, right. So, yeah, you get the summoning noise, you get the attack noise, and then you get the full theme song. Like,
yeah.
not the instrumental in the Morpher. Like, full lyrics and everything. You get your Shuki Levy out of this.
I need to get that now.
It's a beautiful piece in hand. And it's weird to say, but, you know, the gold on it, because it's, like, actual gold this time.
Yeah.
It's weird to describe it this way, but it gives it the look of, like, a brass instrument.
That's nice.
It's weird to say, well, the gold gives it the look of brass.
Yeah, but it gives it that kind of legitimacy, right? Like, it's got that shine.
Yeah. It looks like there's a clarinet in the middle of this dagger.
I'm guessing alongside the heft, that's got to be a nice bit of presentation.
Yeah, because it is hefty, it's heavy, it's way bigger than I thought it'd be.
I hope I find that locally. I don't want to order it online, I want to happen across it.
There's almost like a benefit to getting it online just for the shock value of just how freaking big it is when you first see it.
I want to have that just in the store. I'm just going to drop my bags. Just point at it, mouth agape.
But yeah, it is a very, very nice item.
Excellent.
Yeah. That was the one toy I never had as a kid.
Oh, me neither.
Yeah.
I just had my Dragon Zord and my Mega Zord. Never had Titanus either.
I have a Titanus. I don't have a Dragon Zord or Megazord, but I have Titanus.
I hate you.
Never got Titanus either. But the one Dragon Dagger I ever encountered as a kid, I had to give away to some kid at a birthday party that I never met in my life before. Never saw him again. I just got dragged there because it was my dad's coworker who was holding the party. Say, okay, no. Here, give my kid this for his birthday. Okay, and my dad went, here, you give this to him.
All right, I'll just take it over here to make sure it's not broken. Oh, I lost it.
Like, Dad, you bastard, you made me give away the one Dragon Dagger I ever owned. But that's there now. And then we get to the part of what we got where... I'm not quite sure what I've done with my life, but it has led to this.
All paths lead to what the hell did you do, Aaron? What did you do? What have you done to all of us?
Sorry.
It's your fault. I can't even blame Aaron, because I've had willpower enough to hold back for this long.
I still think Aaron gets some blame here. He might not have been the catalyst, but he's been laying the seeds.
It's the slow drips that finally weakened it.
He's not the rainstorm that made the plants grow, but he is the botanist who seeded the soil with his unholy seed. That really came out a lot worse than I thought it was going to come out when I thought of that in my head. I'm going to go over here.
Sorry for the better.
So yeah, I did some Lego.
Good man.
I say some, I mean crap ton.
Good man.
Because it starts with Cloud Cuckoo Land.
God damn it!
Because I thought to myself, okay, I need Unikitty and I need the two main characters. So let's make sure I get that one before everything else. And then something in me said, that's not an order. You know, add the bad cop pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how do we want to do this? Should we go item by item, or should I just ramble the list?
I'm going to leave this up to Aaron.
Ramble the list. Yeesh. I mean, you can maybe talk about what you want to on one, but...
But yeah, Cloud Cuckoo Land might be the girliest thing I've ever put in this room, and I really don't care.
Just build it into That's a tank, fine. And you'll be fine.
Yeah, I've seen a tank, I've seen a jet.
Motorcycle's the one I saw.
Ah, I need to look those up.
I think the tank was not Cloud Cuckoo Land, it was just similar colored parts. But I know I've seen a motorcycle that was built almost entirely just out of Cloud Cuckoo Land.
I'm trying to think. The jet that I saw was... I'm pretty sure it was all Cloud Cuckoo. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so Cloud Cuckoo Land's here. And added in Bad Cop's Pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
Which... That upset me because this is the only occurrence of it, and I haven't. It's one of those things I didn't associate with Lego. I got a missing part out of that one. So he was.
Wait, tell Aaron that specifically what just happened. I want to listen to see if I can hear Aaron's brain click.
Lego forgot to send me one of the pieces.
Aaron, is that possible?
It happens occasionally. However, they have a very good way of taking care of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. One quick little form email, click drop-down menus. Yeah, that's the part mm-hmm. I need.
Yep.
Painless.
Have you received your replacement parts yet?
Indeed I have, and now I have this nice little Lego-branded zip bag to store all my extra gubbins in.
How long did it take?
A week and a half.
Week and a half?
Yeah.
From Denmark?
I'm not sure.
You're welcome.
I'm not sure if it came all the way from Denmark. I'm sure it did.
Mega
it
blocks
did
would something. Be faster.
But no. Yeah, I've got the replacement bit, so he's got both his guns now. Which is actually a neat build. I like all the flip-out mm-hmm. components that they put into that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I wandered into a Walmart and went, yeah, I could do for Metal Beard as well.
You do not do poorly with Metal Beard. That is gateway. That is necessary.
It was nice because one of the reasons I really couldn't get into Creo was because the parts were so symmetrical, it kind of got boring to build. Like, the arms are going to be identical. The legs are going to be identical. So Metal Beard's completely asymmetrical, solved all that. And am I getting snobbish? Because immediately I looked at him and go, that's not how he looked in the movie, and I started rearranging parts.
He does look different in the movie from the large Metal Beard toy.
There are
a few differences. Yeah.
I've seen.
The arranging of the lock is a little bit different. I think his cannon arm is built a little bit different, but
yeah,
it's the differences between the movie and making a toy to sell.
I think what I've read is a lot of the movie build is a lot more fragile than the toy build.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah. It happens. Easy fix. So I had to pull a chain out of the one Monster Fighter set that I had bought before this. I also decided I wanted the Evil Lair.
Welcome!
It's a nice little amalgamation of, like, every scene that took place in that tower.
Yeah, it's a... I was building it, and I was like, this sucks. I shouldn't have bought this. I finished building it, this is great. I put it in the DTOLF 2 days later, I'm like, I literally don't know how I feel about the Evil Lair. It's like a great vertical slice that is, as you're building it, you feel like you got ripped off, you finish and it's great, and then you kind of just stare at it and you're like, what are you?
It's just very truncated.
Yeah.
It's just enough of each scene to get the point across.
Yeah.
It's crammed into two walls and a outcropping.
Like I said, it's the oddity of playset.
Yeah, well, yeah, like, okay, yeah. I grew up on a Cat's Lair where Lion-O was, like, half as tall as the entire building.
Mm-hmm.
Big deal. So I can deal with it. I like building all the action features and all the things I remember from the movie. It's the kind of set where I kind of feel like if I had another one, I could build it up, like, to be at least as imposing as some of the areas were in the movie.
Have you seen the build someone did for the Are You the Special contest? So that contest was take any Lego set, like, you know, ideally movie set, and just build something cool using only the parts in the box.
Mm-hmm.
So someone built the entire Evil Lair into a giant pair of pants for Lord Business. Like, articulate still, you know, the 2 point of articulation still works. It's just these two enormous things bolted on the bottom of his feet, and it's hilarious.
No, it's a fun little set. And since I had the Executron from Cloud Cuckoo Land, I now, like, the one permanent position in that entire set is Executron on the table with Business Kitty. Which is still the one joke in the movie I still laugh at.
Probably my second favorite joke in the movie.
Eh.
My first favorite is always going to be the very first bad cop chair thing.
Okay. It's jumping ahead, but okay. Through blind bags, I now have like 5 bad cops. I have
Learn
no
thumbs.
I have 5 bad cops, no chairs.
You gotta bricklink those chairs.
How did that slip by? Why is there no chair in any of these sets?
Because those are actually large pieces that aren't directly minifigures.
I don't care.
The bad cop is really only in his own vehicle, so you don't really need the chair. Cross accessory stuff. The Lord Business Evil Lair has the business chairs around, right?
They're not
so
the
you
proper
have the
chair,
seat
though.
Piece.
It's not the proper chair.
They're red, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bricklink. It's easy.
It should just be a poly bag. Bad cop, a chair, and then, like, I don't know, a gun. I'd buy, like, 10.
Just be that interrogation scene.
Yeah. A table, a chair, 2 chairs, and bad cop. There you go. Poly bag. Aaron, why aren't you doing it? Where is it?
You know, I try and I try, but they just don't listen to me.
Damn.
So, on top of that, I also have the getaway glider just for the minifigures.
I got that, but I haven't built it yet.
It's a weird little build. Which I got, it's very, you know, very accurate to movie, very cobbled together, so.
Yeah.
A little interesting to build. Simple, but it's there. Ended up with the Castle Cavalry set.
I have built that. That thing, I haven't built the castle side, but I made the pod racer.
Yeah, I've got the castle side. I haven't built the pod racer yet.
Yeah, that thing is weird.
Which I like the idea behind those two-in-one sets.
Mm.
But I didn't like how all of them were trucks that turned into vaguely shaped jet things. So I kind of like this one because it actually forms something a little bit different.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it transformed.
Yeah.
It's like it was rebuilt.
It actually gave me the actress for the Where Are My Pants set.
So that's why I bought that one first. Because I was like, well, I have the set. I have right. the guy. I should just finish this story right now.
Yeah. For the same reason, I bought the first Batman set that had accurate-looking Batman, which is his helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a neat build. You know, it's like a $20 set, but the way the helicopter is built, it's a decent-sized vehicle.
Now that I found out he's in the police SWAT vehicle cruiser thing, I'm holding out for that.
Well, technically the one I have, it looks like the one in the movie, but apparently the cowl has been remolded since then.
They're doing the new cowl for the one in the police vehicle, which also comes with the Green Ninja, which is so dumb, and it comes with the adventure guy. Forgot his name, Thunder Jones Canyon or something.
I like that it's
close enough.
I like that it comes with a Green Ninja, though.
Yeah. Like, it's topical.
Yeah. And currently sitting on my floor waiting for a very quiet rainy day, I have the King's Castle.
Holy damn.
Oh. Going for some classic castle stuff.
When I was a kid, I had the basic bucket of bricks and the occasional like little box theme set that I never bothered with. I'd open it up, dump it into the parts bin, and just build whatever. When I was older and went to a friend's house to play, the sets he had for his Lego were always the castle sets. They're always the medievals, the knights, and the big gray bricks that's where my Lego nostalgia is.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this idea of being able to build my own little castle.
Finally get your revenge. This one's mine.
Not revenge.
That's how I feel whenever I'm buying Lego right now.
But no, I love the idea. Like I love the medieval fantasy stuff, so like, just to have my own little castle to build, I like the idea of that. I like that it can be rearranged. And it's another one of those sets where if I ever lose my mind and pay that money again for a second one, I could build some huge thing out of this.
Yeah. Literally a bed.
You need to look into the old kingdom stuff.
That could do.
I think you can still get. I think they've got a joust thing right now.
I've seen the joust.
Because then they also had a chess set for a long time.
Yeah. I will say
it may still be available.
I will say I just put in an order at Walmart for the melting room, and just to bump it up to free shipping, I threw in like the smallest castle set they had, mostly just so I could. I can't remember what it was.
Is that just like dudes at Crossroad or something?
Yeah, there's one that's like dudes at Crossroad. There's one that's like a bandit getaway thing.
I think. This is literally a cart with a treasure chest on it and two trees with a flick missile. But it comes with.
Wait, why is there a flick missile in a castle set mounted to a tree?
Because it's an ambush set.
It's like a missile!
Trees have feelings, too?
Why is there a missile launcher in a castle set?
Because it's an ambush set.
I'm writing an angry letter to Lego.
I literally just got it just because I've got this castle where there's all of three knights in the castle and three knights attacking it. Like, that's a pathetic fight.
So that's just poor matchmaking.
Yeah. It's Titanfall.
Yeah.
See, what I was going to do last week if UPS had actually decided to drop my box off on time, was I was going to open my first blind bags of my life ever on the show to be recorded for all time, and then they didn't show up.
And for Aaron's reference, these are things you're ordering online, so you had no chance to fondle them.
Yeah. I have looked there, like, Target is always sold out. I can't find any other place that's stocking them right now.
Persevere.
This is all, there's nothing to persevere. I've expended all options. This is all I have.
That's like me in Series 11. As soon as I was like, I'm going to go hit up that wall of Series 11 at Walmart, it was gone. There were three left. I bought them and I still haven't opened them because I don't even want to look. I was like, you know what? This is all, well, sure. I'm just going to film a vlog or something one day for posterity.
Well, to start with, it's like, you know, I don't have any blind bags, so I might as well. I'm going to get something I don't have no matter what.
For the first one, yes.
Yeah, the very first one. You open. Then your percentages start dropping rapidly.
Oh, I know. I got to the point where I was just kind of like throwing in all the ones Toys R Us would let me have in each order. Mm-hmm. And I was intentionally breaking up orders to exceed the limit. So this is how I end up with four Scribbleface bad cops.
If you buy some extra helmets to cover the faces, you can have a cool police force.
I have so many handcuffs right now.
Yeah.
But I haven't gotten a bad mix. I found out I'm very lucky when I'm first opening. Because, you know, I wanted that Scribbleface cop, and that was the first one I opened. And then the fourth bag was another one.
You wanted him too hard.
Apparently so. What happened? Well, I found this out. I run some kind of weird pattern because I also ended up with four from Series 11. And I start off really lucky because the first one I got was the Lady Robot, which is the one I wanted the most out of that series.
Okay.
And then the second one was the Constable. And then the fourth one was a Constable.
That's not bad. That's a troop buildery one, kind of.
It's a troop buildery one, yeah. But I'm looking for variety here. Like, there's a lot from Series 4 Series 11 I really like.
Well, you're building a mighty police force, at least.
I know. I have so many authority figures now. But yeah, I've had big stack of minifigures that I've been opening up. I'm actually not a bad spread so far. I'm still looking for Abe Lincoln. That's eluded me.
Yeah. When you find them, it's the beard hat that you look for.
I am aware.
Okay.
I'm telling you, they're not around here. It's been fun so far. I'm currently eyeing my first trip to a Lego store sometime in the next few weeks. And
I'm going tomorrow, actually, with my little brother.
They've got to have the minifigures there.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you go there, just tell them, hey, I'm trying to feel up for Abe Lincoln. They will help you.
Well, in the meantime, I'm currently eyeing this 20% off coupon at Toys R Us, and they have the vampire castle I wanted.
You should build the vampire castle onto your castle, and then build the melting room onto that, and build the evil lair onto that. And you'll have the best fortress.
You two are not helping this.
Yeah, we are. We're helping you buy Lego. It seems pretty straightforward.
When have I ever not attempted to help you buy things when you've started buying things?
I know. You'd think I would learn.
This is all normal for me. It's just Aaron is the new factor, that's all. He's throwing you off. He's making you think something's happening. Don't worry. It's all normal.
I'm very confused right now.
That's all right. It's all normal. Just let it happen.
Buying another castle I don't have space for.
Well, see, that's the beautiful thing I think about Lego, is when you don't have space for Lego, you throw it at the wall, and then you take out a broom, and you sweep it into a big Ziploc bag and toss it in a box. Then when you have room, you build it again.
Or use a brick separator to take it apart logically and not lose a whole bunch of pieces
brick separator.
Any animals that may be around the
house. Let me go get my herbal tea and my watercress sandwich.
Look, you know what you do? You know what you do?
You're just envious because you haven't gotten a set with a brick separator.
I have four brick separators, sir.
Well, then what's your problem? you should understand how powerful the brick separator is.
Oh, they're powerful when I misbuild stuff. When I want to take something apart, just huck it. Tetrajet it.
See, you end up with two 1x2 stacked on top of each other.
God.
Go at it with your teeth and a butter knife.
No. See, what you do, you get a Tupperware thing, you put your Lego model in there, you take it down to Home Depot, put it in the paint shaker. 1 minute.
I just use two brick separators, chopstick style. That's why you get multiples.
You've got to make it racist now?
You're the one who said racist, not me. Maybe you should put your prejudices over there, outside the door, where they belong in the 21st century, am I right? My brick separators are orange.
Oh, so you have the scrub ones. That's okay.
Scrub, okay. Okay, what's the fancy brick separator?
Green. Same style in green.
Why?
Why? Because there are two sets that have it. I have two of them. There are four. I'm superior.
What are the two sets that have it?
The Horizon Express and the Palace Cinema.
Well, look at you. Look at the fancy person over here.
I kind of want that Palace Cinema.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, it's a good set.
It's the only modular set I want.
Yeah.
It's a cool set. Had a little popcorn scene. You build a projector.
I want it so that I can...
The roof tile is so cool.
I want it I can use it with some micromanagers to turn it into the palace manager.
Wow.
Giant walking theater. All my Lego purchases eventually come back to micromanagers.
That was the one thing that made me laugh on the Metalbeard set. I put that micromanager together and I'm like, this is like what would happen if the Imperial Empire outsourced their walkers to the Borg.
Wait till you get more of them. They're all different.
I've got a couple of them now.
Yeah.
I'm working up.
So it sounds like you've been doing the Lego thing pretty hard, much like I did in February.
I've got another castle on the way.
All right.
8 more blind bags. Yes. I bought Series 10 blind bags. There isn't even anything in Series 10 I'm after.
Mr. Gold.
Yeah, imagine if he gets Mr. Gold after all this time. the random who just got into it like 2 weeks ago gets Mr. Gold. Can you imagine how mad some people would be?
I hold on, let me think. Yes, I can figure out how mad I'd...
God.
Oh, man, you have to get Mr. Gold now. Oh, that'd be so funny.
Just have to build a treehouse in the Everglades and never reveal myself again.
No, just go on eBay and hawk it for like $8 million or whatever people are paying for Mr. Coles.
Look, I wanted the Sad Clown from Series 10. I got the Sad Clown from Series 10. And if I get these two other bags, I'm going to get another Sad Clown on the fourth bag. This is how it works.
What if he gets two Mr. Golds?
Oh, sure. I'm going to split Infinity and get two of the uber rare Mr. Golds.
I found where all the Mr. Golds went.
Let's see. There are 10 people selling them on Bricklink from $849.90 to $1,158.
Wait, $849.90?
Well,
who does he think he's 90. Fooling? Oh, I'll take 10 cents off.
It's under $8.50, man. It's a bargain.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to blow my nose.
Let's see what they're going for.
Y'all waited for me. That's so nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we should call it. Unless there's anything else that we need to add to the what we got.
No.
Buy any more castles?
No. Not yet.
All right. Then that does it for this episode of WTF at TFW, episode 296 on March the 21st, 2014. Staccato. Stay tuned, everyone. We'll be back next week. And you know what? Stay tuned all through this year because we've got stuff to talk about. Holy damn. We got a movie coming up. We've got potential more info on next year's cartoon coming up. We've got Lego. We've got all kinds of other G.I. Joe topics to discuss in memoriam and in sympathy to a whole lot of people and one very unfortunate franchise. So,
but hey, plenty. We got Gem.
We got Gem at our convention. So stay tuned for all that. We'll be back again next week here on TFW 2005, WTF at TFW. Until then, I'm just going to keep playing with my Cosmos that I have, that I paid about $15 for. Yes. This little Cosmos. So great.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.